Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chof Ches, and we will begin from the two dots, 11 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chof Zayin Omid Beis, Nishcheta HaBehema. So the topic is Tumo V'Tahayra, specifically the halachos of Eiver and Bosar HaMidulgolim BeBehema. So what's an Eiver HaMidulgol? That's a limb of a live animal that's hanging, it's dangling. It's almost completely severed, but it's only almost completely severed, meaning it's not completely severed. And as we've already seen briefly in Masechtas Chulin, and we'll see today in much greater detail, an Eiver HaMedoldol and a Kezayis of Basar HaMedoldol in a Behema has a very special place in Halacha. A little bit of background. We know that although certain animals are kosher, other animals are not kosher, but it's very possible for a kosher animal to not be kosher. For example, Basar Nevela and Eiver Nevela are Asar Bachila. So the animal can be kosher, but if it wasn't slaughtered properly, if somebody eats a Kezayis of its Basar, or if somebody eats one of its Eivarim, even if it's less than a Kezayis, the halach is he's over the Isser Macholis Asurais, he will get Malkus for what he ate. If somebody eats Eiver Minachai, or a Kezayis Basar Minachai, again, it's a kosher animal, but he removed a limb or a Kezayis Basar while the animal was still alive, even if afterwards the animal had a proper shechita, it's known as Eiver Minachai, Basar Minachai, it's Asar Bachila. Incidentally, Eiver Minachai and Basar Minachai is not only Asar for a Yid, but it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. Even a B'nei Noyach is not allowed to eat it. There's another halacha called Eiver HaMedoldol and Kezayis Basar HaMedoldol, where if somebody would eat the Eiver of an animal that was Medoldol while it was alive, subsequently, the animal had a kosher shechita, but being that it was meduldol while the animal was still alive, it was never poirish menachai. It was never eiver menachai. It was only meduldol. It was only almost severed. The halach is that eiver hamiduldol and basar hamiduldol become asav yachila. It's learned that from the pasuk of basar basad the trade for loisachelo. So in a way, Eiver Nevela and Kezayis Basar Nevela, Eiver Menachai, Kezayis Basar Menachai, and Eiver HaMedoldol and Kezayis Basar HaMedoldol are all similar in that they're all going to be Asar Bachila. Stating that, there are very important differences between these three categories as it relates to not the Macholes Asurais component, but rather the Tumah V'Tahayra component. Again, one thing is clear from learning these sugyas, and that is that the halachos of Nevela straddle two worlds. On the one hand, they fall into the Rambam's Hilchos Macholos Asurais. At the same time, they also fall into the Rambam's Hilchos Aveis HaTuma. Nevela is Asar Bachila, just like a Chazer is Asar Bachila. Nevela is also Tameh, just like a mace, just like a Sheretz is Tameh. So if somebody comes in contact with a Kezayis Basar Nevela or with an Eiver Nevela, the halacha is he would become Tameh. What about Eiver Minachai and Basar Minachai? So the halacha is Eiver Minachai is Tameh, Kezayis Basar Minachai is not Tameh. What about Eiver HaMedoldol and Kezayis Basar HaMedoldol? The halacha is that an Eiver HaMedoldol and a Kezayis Basar HaMedoldol, despite the fact that they're also Bachila, and despite the fact, as we mentioned, they're very similar to Nevela and Eiver Minachai, but as it relates to Tuma, they are not Aveis HaTuma. They are not a source of Tuma. So as it relates to Isra Achila, you have Nevela, you have Eiver Minachai, you have Medoldol, they're all the same. Whether it's an Eiver or Kezayis Basar of Nevela, Asar Bachila. If it's Eiver Menachai or Kezayis Basar Menachai, Asar Bachila. If it's Eiver HaMedoldol or Kezayis Basar HaMedoldol, it's Asar Bachila. As it relates to Tumah, then they're all separate. As it relates to Nevela, Eiver, Nevela, and Kezayis Basar Nevela, Tameh. As it relates to Eiver Menachai is Tameh, Kezayis Basar Menachai is not Tameh. As it relates to Medoldol, both Eiver HaMedoldol and Kezayis Basar HaMedoldol are both not sources of Tumah. Stating that, the Mishnah said a Chiddush. And that is that although an Eiver HaMedoldol and a Kezayis Basar HaMedoldol are themselves not a source of Tumah, but at the same time, here's the Chiddush, even while they're attached to the animal, the halacha is they're treated as oichlin, so that if they're hukshar lekabel tumah, and then later they come in contact with tumah, like all oichlin, they will now become tumah. So they're not a source of tumah, but the point is they're susceptible to becoming tumah. The reason this is a chiddush is because a live animal cannot become tame. Incidentally, in Perek Behema Hamakasha, which feels like a long time ago, we learned that even a ben pekua, which you're allowed to eat without shchita, being that it's alive, is not subject to the laws of Tumas Eichlin. Because a live animal cannot become tame in Tumas Eichlin. Stating that, the Eivar HaMedoldol and the Kizayis Basa HaMedoldol, even though they're attached to an animal, so they're technically alive, it doesn't matter. We look at them as if they're severed, and it's for that reason, despite the fact that we don't look at them as if they're severed, to treat it as either nevela or eiver menachai. But we do look at them as if they're severed, to treat them as oichlin, so that if they're huchsher lekabel tumo, the halacha is that afterwards they will become tummy. There is one important caveat to this halacha that Rashi spoke out of the Mishnah that's going to come to Gale later in the daf, and that is that the only time that the eiver amedoldon, the gezayis basa amedoldon, can become huchsher lekabel tumo is if somebody had in mind to actually eat it or feed it to somebody. So for example, someone had a mind to feed this Aver or this Kizayis Basa to a Benoich, he is not allowed to eat the Aver HaMedoldol and the Kizayis Basa HaMedoldol. Even if you shecht it properly, we said, to that degree it's treated like Aver Menachai, you would not be able to eat it. But if someone had a mind to feed it to a guy would be allowed to eat it. He doesn't have the halach of Aver HaMedoldol and Kizayis Basa HaMedoldol, even though it's similar to Aver Menachai, it's not Aver Menachai. So of course a guy would be allowed to eat it. But the halach is that if you have in mind that a guy should eat it, that gives it a chashivas of oichlin. So despite the fact that right now it's mechuber to a behema, it's technically alive, afal pikein, if it becomes huchshur lekabel tumah, then the halacha is that it would be susceptible to the halachas of tumas oichlin. So on the topic of Eivar HaMedoldol and Kizayis Basa HaMedoldol, we have a rather complicated Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph that goes on to Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. And the truth is, if you sit down and you really break down the Mishnah said three halachas, all of which the Gemara discusses in great detail. The first halacha the Mishnah said was Ha'ever v'habasa ha'medudolim b'behema mitam in tumas eichlin b'mkayim v'tzrich ha'nechshe, which is essentially part of what we spoke at in the introduction. And that is an Ever and basa ha'medudolim. The halacha is they're asa v'achila. They are themselves not a source of tuma, but at the same time, even while they're attached to the animal, we look at them as eichlin, so that Rashi's insert, if someone had in mind that a benoich should eat it, and they became huchshur l'kabel tuma, the halacha is they would become tuma. That's the resha, and the Gemara discussed that. The second case of the Mishnah, which we're going to discuss now, is nishchata behema. What happens if you had a behema that had an evra medoldol, or kizayis baser that was medoldol, and now you did a proper shchita on the behema? So the halacha is that the Eivar HaMedoldol and the Gezayis Basa HaMedoldol is still going to be also Be'achilo. As it relates to Tumah, so nothing really changes. Because it's not Eivar Menachai, it's not even Nevela, it had a proper Shechita, the animal did. So the Tumah ramifications of the Eivar and the Gezayis Basa will be the same in that if it's Huchshul Kabel Tumah, it will be Tame. If it's not Huchshul Kabel Tumah, it won't be Tame. Meaning the only Tumah that's really on the table for it to be or not to be is Tumas Eichlin. But if it's Huchshul Kabel Tumah, it can become Tumas Eichlin. Stating that, the Mishnah mentioned the Machlekes Remain Reb Shimon, whether the Dam Shechita in and of itself is Machsher, the Eivar HaMedoldol and the Basa HaMedoldolim, to now become huchshu l'kabel tuma. So if it comes in contact with tuma, it will be tame or not. Rameir says the dam that's yotze from the shechita in and of itself has an ability to be machshu l'kabel tuma. Rav Shimon says loy huchshu. And at first glance, what's pashub shan in this machloikis? I mean, why would you think that the dam shechita shouldn't be huchshu l'kabel tuma? There's certain mashkins. This is Masechtas Machshir 101 that have the ability to be machshir something l'kabel tuma. Dam shechita is one of them. So if dam shechita has an ability to be Machshel Kabel Tumah, we learned these sugis in great detail earlier in the Masechta. But if Dam Shechita has an ability to be Machshel Kabel Tumah, and the halacha is that an Eivar HaMedoldol is subject to Tumas Eichlin as long as it's Huchshel Kabel Tumah, why would you think that if you have an Eivar HaMedoldol and now you shech the animal that this Eivar is attached to, that Dam Shechita shouldn't have an ability to be Machshir? And the reality is the Machloikis. Rameir says it does, but Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says Lo Yochshiru. So at first glance, the Machloikis, Rameir, Reb Shimon, is Tzorich Bir. The Amiram themselves were not 100% certain what the Machloikis was, and it's for that reason the Gemara is going to have no less than 6 Biurim in what exactly this Machloikis
Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. Incidentally, that's not the hard part of the daf. Zok the Gemara. I'm kidding. It is. Nishchata behemo b'mai kamifligi. What exactly is the machloikis? Such a straightforward question and a very convoluted answer. Zok the Gemara. Amar Rabbo. Rabbo said behemo nasis yad le'ever kamifligis. Rabbo said the machloikis is a very geshmak of machloikis, and that is that we're talking about where when you shechted the animal, only the animal became wet from the dam. The Eiver HaMedoldo never became wet from the dam, meaning the dam never made contact with the Eiver HaMedoldo. It made contact with the animal. And the question now is that if the dam never landed on the Eiver HaMedoldo, so even if the Eiver HaMedoldo came in contact with Tumah, how's it going to be Tumah? It itself was never Hokshel Lekabel Tumah. So you're going to tell me, I understand, the Eiver, this Eiver never came. You need every part of it to be Hokshel Lekabel Tumah? What do you mean? It's attached to a behemoth. So the behemoth itself is, but the truth is that although the behemoth and the Eiver are attached to each other, but L'chayra, they're separate entities, because you see that they're treated in halacha separately. The behemoth with the shechita is mutter la'achila. The Eiver HaMedoldo, because of the drush of u'basa basada trefa lo'isachelo, is going to be asa b'achila. But the Gemara is timing that you could still argue that if the behemoth becomes hokshel lekabel tumah, that should be enough of a hechsher for the Eiver HaMedoldo. You know why? Because it's halacha of yadus. This is uktsin 101. There's a concept of yad as moitzi machnas tumah. There's a halacha of yad maybe being mitztarif for tumah. It's not, but a discussion in the Gemara that yad maybe even could be mitztarif to the shir tumah. There was also a halacha that being that yad is considered part of the tumah with regards to it being moitzi machnas tumah, if you are machsher the yad lekabel tumah, that hechsher could work for the tumah itself. So really said Rabba, the first mahalach in the Gemara, that if the hachav mayaskinon, where the Eiver HaMedoldo itself never came in contact with the dam, it was the behemoth that it's attached to that became in contact with the dam. And the behemoth is really not one with the Eiver. And the most or the best relationship that you can draw up between the Eiver and the underlying behemoth would be that the behemoth is a yad. Rabbi said, so you know what the machlokes tanam was? Could a behemoth be a yad for an Eiver? An Eiver could be a yad for a behemoth. Right, when you think of a yad, so you're thinking of the stem of a fruit. You're thinking of the bone of meat. The bone is the yad to the meat. It's the tuffle to the meat. The stem is the tuffle to the apple. The behemoth should be a yad to the Eiver, so that will say that you want to dan the tumas oichlin of the Eiver, because it's the Eiver that came in contact. So you want to say that being that the behemoth itself became hukshar, maybe that should work. It's not so pasha that that would work. Mehecha tesi, a behemoth, could be a yad for an Eiver. It's very reasonable to argue that maybe not. Often thus is Rav Shimon Svara, says Rabba, but behemoth nasis yad le Eiver, come if Mar sova, Rav Shimon holds aim behemoth nasis yad le Eiver. Umar sova, behemoth nasis yad le Eiver. Bayo, my Bayo said a different shot. But oiches bekaton, the ingodol imai kumifugi. Rashi says that Abaye disagreed with his Rebbe Rabba. And Abaye held that there's no way in the world that you can look at the behemoth as being a yad for the Eiver. It's not possible. So if that's the case, the only way the dam going on the behemoth can be machsher even the Eiver lekabel tumah is if you look at the behemoth and the Eiver as one. And the machlokes Rameir Reb Shimon was, do you look at them as being one unit or not look at them as being one unit? Not mitzad the lumbus of yodos and mesachtes uktsin. Physically, is it one thing? Forget about yodos. Is this one behemoth? Is it one apple? Or are they two separate entities? What's the argument? So, practically speaking, here's the argument. If you, usually, if something is one, so there's a little litmus test you could do. If two things are attached to each other, and you want to know if it's really mechober, so pick up one half. If the other half is going to go up with it, that's a sign it's one. Pick up the other half if it's going to go up. But in most cases, it's going to work both ways. What happens if you have two things that are attached to each other? One is bigger, one is smaller. If you pick up the bigger, the smaller side's going to come up with it. If you pick up the smaller, the bigger side's not going to come. Does that make it one, or does that not make it one? That's the Shaila. And Abaye said, that's a machlokes gedolei tanan, Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara, ba'oiches bekatan, where the machlokes is, if two things are attached, a dover gadol and a dover katan, you pick up the dover katan, the in gadol oily imoy, and the dover gadol is not going to go up with it. Like in this case, you lift the Eiver HaMedoldo, it's too flimsy. The behemoth is not going to come up with it. There's no way. If it was attached to it firmly and you're strong enough, then, you know, you could do a hagbah. Maybe that's something you'll be able to do. But in this flimsy case, it's not going to happen. And that was Gufa the Machloikis. Mar Savar, Oiches Bechadim in Gadoloi, Mimoi, Hareyu Kamoyo. Rameir says that just because you can't lift the Gadol with the Katan, that's not a reason for it not to be considered one. It is considered one. If it's considered one, if the behemoth itself became Hukshal the Kabul Tumah, that Hechsha would apply to the Avram Adodol as well. Mar Savar, Rav Shimon holds not that way. Even though this is a bias pshat, Shino Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan, also learned this way. How do you know that? Rabbi Yochanan, Rami, Rameh. Because Rabbi Yochanan once asked the stira in Rameh. Did Rameh really say in our Mishnah that Nishchata Abehema Huchshur B'damer, that the Avraham Adolda come Huchshur through Tuma going on the Behema? For a minute, I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah in Mesechtis. Tvul Yoyim. So in today's daf, we're going to learn Mesechtes Tvul Yoyim. We're going to learn a little Mesechtes Uptzin, a little bit of Mesechtes Negayim. This is a Mishnah Mesechtes Tvul Yoyim. A Tvul Yoyim is somebody that was Tameh, had to go to the mikvah, went to the mikvah, but the Torah says that even though the person who's Tameh went to the mikvah, he doesn't become tar until the sun sets. So the halacha is that even after he goes to the mikvah, as in the first Mishnah in Shas, the Mesechtes Brachos, so even though he went to the mikvah, he's still Tameh, but because he went to the mikvah, The tum is a little kalush. He's only quasi tumah. But the point is, he's tumah nonetheless. So we're dealing with a tful yoyim who touched oichel shenifras umu'ura b'miktsas. So there was truma. He had a cake or a loaf of bread that was truma. And now it cracked. And it's hanging on literally by a thread. And the tful yoyim touched one of the two sides. So the side that he touched is for sure tummy. A tful yoyim, emes hakehanim, right? When are they allowed to eat truma? So it's only, well, maybe it's like carrying a sashma. Mishal shakehanim nechdasim lechol the truma. So they can't eat, you're not coming in contact with truma yet. So the tful yoyim coming in contact with tuma, of course, is going to be metama the tuma that he came in contact with. Here's the question. What about the part of the truma that's attached to the truma that he touched? This is two halves that are really a shtickle attached to each other. So he touched one. What about the other half? So the halachas Rameyo. So you do this experiment. Pick up both sides. If you pick up the bigger side, the small side goes up. And you pick up the small side, the bigger side goes up. It means it's one. So if the tful yoyim touched one half, the other half is going to be tamei as well. But if not, ain't tamei. And Rabbi Yochanan asked the stira. He said, I have a stira in Rameyo. What's the stira? In our Mishnah, Rameyo said that the Avraham Adoldol is considered one with the behemoth, despite the fact that when you lift the Avraham Adoldol, the behemoth is not going to go up. Even though if your oich is bekatan, the gadol is ain't oily, I don't care. Because Rameh holds, as long as if when I pick up the behemoth, the Avraham Adoldol goes up, I don't need it to work both ways. As long as I can lift the katan by lifting the gadol, I don't care that I can't lift the gadol by lifting the katan. That's Rameh Shita. Here, Rameh says just the opposite. Rameh says as it relates to the tful yoyim, being metame truma, the only time he has an ability to be metame truma is if it works both ways. If I can lift the katan with the gadol and the gadol with the katan. So this was Rabbi Yochanan's stira. And what did Rabbi Yochanan say to answer the stira? Rabbi Yochanan, he says, you have to change the names around because there's no way to reconcile these two Rameyas. Now, incidentally, the Gemara says, well, my kushya, I don't even understand the kasha. Maybe there's a fundamental difference. Maybe in our Mishnah, we're dealing with real Tumah. A Tumah deraisa. That Mishnah is a Mishnah in Tful Yoyim. A Tful Yoyim has an ability to be Matama, but his Tumah is not a Tumah Chamura. It could be only in a Tumah Drabanan. It's not nearly as Chamur. So being that it's not so Chamur, maybe the Chilik is the Rameir is Machmer when it comes to a Tumah deraisa. But when it comes to a Tumah Drabanan, such as Tful Yoyim, there he says, Oiches Bekatan, Vigodal Oily, my Areu Kamayo Vimlav Ene Kamayo. But the Gemara says it can't because Tanya Rebbe Yoimer, Rebbe said a Braisa regarding this Rameir, that Echot Tful Yoyim, Echot Shah Tumas. Rebbe Mefurish said the Rameir is Halachan. Tful Yoyim wasn't only negayah Tful Yoyim; it was negayah all Tumas. But the Gemara says, "V'dumalu Rebbe leishani le, who the Rameir shani le." Just because Rebbe said it doesn't mean Rameir held that way. I mean, Rebbe wasn't explaining Rameir. Rebbe said his own halacha that there's no difference between a Tful Yoyim and a regular Tumah. Maybe Rameir not, but the Gemara says, "Am Rav Yoishia, you're right. Hachi Am Rav Yoishia. This is where Rav Yechanan said. Divrei Rebbe muchlevas hashita. I mean, Rav Yechanan knew that there was a way out of this kasha. The way out would be maybe there's a chiluk between a regular Tumah and a Tumah of a Tful Yoyim. What he was saying was that according to Rebbe, who said there is no difference between a Tful Yoyim and a regular Tumah, so that's not a good teretz. So according to Rebbe, if you assume Rameir held like Rebbe, in other words, but what's the bottom line? What do we want from this discussion in Tful Yoyim? We just want one piece. That you see from Rabbi Yochanan's kasha Hysterin Rameir, between Rameir and our Mishnah. And Rameir and the Mishnah in Tvoyoyim, how Rabbi Yochanan understood Rameir's Shita, that he learned like Abaya, that the Yisoid of Rameir's Shita was that if your Oich is Bekatan, the Ein Godol Oile Imoi, it, the halacha is, it's still considered mechover. That was the basis of the machloikas Rameir and Rav Shimon. Regardless, that is the second pshat in the Gemara. So the first pshat in the Gemara was Rabba, Behema Nasus Yad Ever Komiflagi. Abaya said the machloikas is something else. If two things are attached, but they're not 100% attached, and if you lift the smaller side, the bigger side will detach, it won't come up with it. Is that considered attached or not? That is the beer of the machloikas. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar, Rav said a third pshat, B'yesh yad l'tumo, v'en yad l'hechsher, kom yiflugi. Meaning, everybody agrees that a behema could be a yad for the aver. And hocha b'mayiskinin in the Mishnah, where it was the behema that became hochshel l'kabel tumo, not the... Yeah, not the Aver. The question is that just like there's a halacha of yodos, that a yad could be moitzi or machnes tomo, what about with regards to machshir? And we had this in the beginning of the parak. It was a machlokes ha-meirav, b'yoychanan, whether or not you say the halachas of yodos with regards to the machshirin component or not. Right? What does it mean that a yad is moitzi, machnes tomo or moitzi tomo? It means that if somebody whose tar comes in contact with the yad of a davar tameh, he'll become tameh, even though he never touched the tumah itself. He touched the yad. That's the chiddush of yadis. If the yad of a davar tar touches tumah, it will now make the thing that it's a yad for tameh. Even though the thing itself never came in contact with the tumah, it's yadid, but a yad is machdes tumah. What about with regards to machshir? If the yad becomes wet, the yad of a davar tar becomes wet, and now tumah falls on it. So do you say yesh yad lehechsher or not? It was a shayla, and Rava says that is the machlokes tanan. Marasava yesh yad l'tumah ve'en yad lehechsher. Shimon holds that there is a concept of yadis not with regards to hechsher. So if there's no concept of yadis with regards to hechsher, just because the behema became huchshel l'kabel tumah through the dam shchita, it doesn't mean that's going to work for them. Marasava yesh yad l'tumah lehechsher. Papa says a fourth shot. The hechsher koyde machshava kemiflegi. Machlokes is something else. What happens if you have something that needs machshava to render it oichel? So in and of itself is not oichel. So a piece of bread is oichel. You don't have to think to make a piece of bread oichel. It's oichel because it's oichel. But there are certain things that are a little trickier. For example, there are things, like the Gemara is going to say, that aren't necessarily ro'il achila. Most people won't eat it. But there are people that eat it. One of the examples the Gemara is going to give is that people didn't eat chalev. Even though chalev, most chalavim is asr. Anyways, but most people didn't eat chalev. Let's say the chalev that you're allowed to eat. People just didn't eat it. But in the kfarim, in the villages, people did eat it. In order to give chalev a chashivas, you'd have to be machshavit. You'd have to have some sort of machshava to give it a chashivas of an oichel. The question is, if something that requires a machshava for it to be considered an oichel became huchshel l'kabel tumah before you had that machshava. So at the time that it became wet, at the time that it was kiyut and mayim al zera, you had not yet had the machshava for it to be an oichel. So the question is it considered huchshel l'kabel tumah or not? That is the machlokes Rav Papa said. Behechsher koydim machshava. Come here, what do you mean koydim machshava? A food that needs machshava for it to have a teiras oichel, it was huchshel, but the hechsher happened before the actual machshava. Now we learned in a Mishnah, and where's this Mishnah? It's actually a braisa. It's a teiset. In the third parak of Masechtas Uktzin, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kachay Rabbi Kiva Shoyner." Rabbi Kiva used to say. So Rabbi Yehuda is relating an exchange that he heard from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Kiva used to say as follows: Chelav Shchuta B'Kfarim, the chelav of an animal that shachet in the Kfarim Tzarich Machshava. In order for it to be considered oichel with regards to tumas oichel, people in the kfarim eat it, but they would have to have a machshava to give that chelev a chashivas of oichel. They ain't tzarech hechsher. It doesn't require hechsher. Shekvar huchsher b'shchita. Because the chelev is part of an animal. It most likely became huchsher during the shchita. As a result, if as long as the bnei kfarim, after the shchita, have a mind that they want to eat the chelev, now it becomes oichel that it should be tumas oichel. And it doesn't need hechsher. What do you mean? Food needs hechsher. That was last week's parsha. The teretz is that it was huchsher through the shchita. The problem is the shchita happened before the machshava. So this is where Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Yehuda. Amarti lefanav kishmak. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I told Rabbi Akiva, v'madetonu rabbeinu, ulshin shalikton, if somebody gathered ulshin, v'edichal behema, and he washed it off, in his mind, he was going to take this ulshin, that's some sort of plant, some herbs, he was going to feed it to his animals, v'nimlach aleim la'adam, and afterwards, he says, you know what, never mind, I'm going to eat it for myself. So the halach is, trichais hechsher, you need to be machshir the second time. What do you mean? You washed it. You were machsher it already when you washed it. No, the Teretz is because when you washed it, you thought you were feeding it to a behemoth. Now you changed your mind. You want to eat it? You need another hechsher. So Rabbi Akiva was told by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda tells him, Adatana Rabbeinu, how could you tell me that the shechitas hechsher that happened before the machshava for the chelav is machsher the food now that it should be makabel tuma? L'chayri, you see from the ulshin, not that way. You see from here that you need to have that hechsher after you already had the machshava in order for it to be makabel tuma. The Gemara says, V'chazer Rabbi Akiva, liyashenik Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva was chayzer. But what do you see from this exchange? Oh, this is the shayla. The shayla is, could you be machshir something for Toma before you had the machshava to give it a chshivas oichlin? Thus, hence, the machlekes. Mar sovala. Mar sovala kechazal. Machlekes of Meir Reb Shimon is whether or not we hold like Rabbi Akiva thought before he was chayzer to Rabbi Yehuda, or not that way. In other words, machlekes is whether tzorich, whether hechsher koyde machshava works or hechsher koyde machshava does not work. Achav b'drav iko amar a different shot. Ben eskech eskana chadam ben similar simen kom b'fugi. Achav mayoskinu where you shechted the animal. The animal's attached to this eiver medoldol. It got wet. The animal did. Right afterwards, you went ahead and you wiped off that dam. You wiped off the dam ben simen l'simen. The question is that dam that came out being simen l'simen, did that dam have an ability to be machsherit, or did it not have an ability to be machsherit? What's that talvian? The age-old machloikis. The machloikis is mar sova yeshon l'shchita b'chila b'asayif v'hai dam shchitu mar sova in l'shchita l'basayif v'hav dam makavus. We've seen this so many times already. A kosher shchita requires shchitas beisimonim. What happens when you do shchita simen echad? Is it considered a half a shchita, or it's considered nothing? Is it half, or is it not? Comes up in the sugyas of mefaglin bechatzi matter and some lighter sugyas as well. But either way, that's the shayla. The shayla is the dam that's yoytze from shchitas simen echad. Does it have an ability to be machsher? If it's dam shchita, it can be machsher. If it's dam mako, it doesn't have an ability to be machsher. Because this is a gzeres hakosav in the halachas of masechtas machshirin. We learned this together already as well. That is that dam shchita has an ability to be machsher, but dam mako does not have an ability to be machsher. That's the machlekes. If yesh lo shchita mitchila vatsoy, if it's dam shchita, it can be machsher. If ain't lo shchita el, so this is not a shaila in masechtas uktzin with regards to yodos. This is not a shaila masechtas machshirin whether you can be machsher something before it became tome. It's not a shaila of what's considered chibur, what's not considered chibur. This is a shayla in Hilchas Shchitas Chulin 101. Yesh no l'shchita v'tchila v'atzoif, ein no l'shchita el l'besoif. There's so many ramifications of that lumdis. This is another one. Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi says one final teretz, and that is b'shchita machsheres v'loy dam kam mifulki. The shayla over here was whether what happens if you did a shchita and no dam came out. Is it mukhshel kabel tuma or is it not mukhshel kabel tuma? Chachamim said in a Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta, of course not. If no dam came out, how's it going to be mukhshel kabel tuma? Rav Shimon said no. The ma'ase shchita is what's machsher. Rav Shimon says a chiddush that being that shchita is machshiv, not machsher, machshiv the oichel to the extent that it becomes mutter la'achila, because before shchita, no one's allowed to eat from an animal. Even a ben noyach can't eat from a live animal because it's David ben achai. So the shchita what gives it a chashivas of oichel, it allows it now to be eaten. So aydi the achshave that it gives it a chashivas of oichel, it's achshave as well that it makes it hukshal lekabel tuma. And this is based on the basic havana, not the lamdas. This is the 101 of machshirin. The yisayid of being machshir something lekabel tuma is you're being gomer it. You're giving it a certain gemar. Food becoming wet is similar to a keli becoming nigmar as it relates to the laws of Tumah. Nothing can become Tumah until it's complete. Food becomes complete when it's v'chiyut ha'mayim mazer. But the point, Rav Shimon said that just like a ma'isa shchita completes the food to the degree that it's now roi l'achilo, so too as it relates to hachshir as well. Chamark. So Chom say it's the dam. Rav Shimon said it's the shchita. But the Gemara continued there, and the Gemara said that really there's a derivative machloikis. And that is Rav Shimon, it was a big shayla in the Gemara, Rav Shimon holds that it's the shchita that's machsher and not the dam. Remember the Gemara? The Gemara had a shayla. Rav Shimon was moisif the shchita, meaning shchita even without dam, or only the shchita and not the dam. And the Gemara came out that Rav Shimon holds it's only the shchita that's machsher. The dam itself does not have the ability to be machsher. Chamim hold the antithesis. It's only the dam that has the ability to be machsher. The shchita itself does not. Asher Alkei says Rav Ashi, I'll tell you something so gishmak, that this machloik is Rav Meir and Rav Shimon is mamish Rav Shimon l'shitasoi. How so? Because according to Rav Shimon, dam never has an ability to be machsher. It's only the
shchita that has an ability to be machsher. In this case, what do you want? The shchita should be machsher the Eiver HaMedoldol. Could the shchita be machsher the Eiver HaMedoldol? No. You know why? Because the shchita is not matter the Eiver HaMedoldol. And if it's not matter the Eiver HaMedoldol, it can't be machsher the Eiver HaMedoldol. Because what's the whole lumdis of shchita being machsher? Because it's matter it. And yois, it's matterit, it's machsherit. But the shchit is not poil on the Avraham Adoldol. Memela can't be machsherit. So loite chachomim, that whole damn shchita is a machsher be'etzem. So there's no reason, said Rav Ashi, why they shouldn't hold that the Avraham Adoldol could become huchsher with the behemoth that it's attached to becoming huchsher l'kabel tumah. That's shchitas Rameir. But Rav Shimon l'shitasa, who holds damn shchita, is never machsher. It's always the act of shchita that's machsher. The act of shchita can only be machsher chelik of a behemoth that's going to be mutar v'achila. But being that there's a halacha of Avraham Medoldol and Kesayis Bas HaMedoldolim that they don't become mutar idei the shchita, memela they can't become huchsher with the shchita as well. Either way, all the gedolei amayroim contributed to this gemara. We had Rabbah, we had Abaya, Rava, Rabbi Yochanan. We even had the Tanoim, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yehuda. We have Rav Ashi, Rav Papa, Rav Achbed, Rav Ika, Hafla Vafela. That is the first part of the daf. The Gemara continues. Me'inyin le'inyin, very much ba'isa inyin. Ba'i rabo, be'ema, b'chayeo, ma'u shetase yad le'ever. So one of the things that came out in our studio was a discussion in the Gemara whether an ever hamedoldol, which is attached to a be'ema, which the ever hamedoldol is not in and of itself a source of tumah, but it's subject to the laws of tumah seichlin. It needs, however, to become huchsher l'kabel tumah, like all eichlin do, in order to become tumah tumas eichlin, when you shech the behema. So the shchit of the behema, which is now going to cause dam to start flowing, and things are going to get wet and messy. So the question is that hechsher work for the Eivra HaMedoldol or not? And one of the things discussed, this was Rabba's beer in the Machlekes Rav Meir Rav Shimon, right in the beginning of the Gemara, was do we look at the behema as being a yad for the Eiver, or do we not look at it? And Rabbi explained the Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Shimon as being that Shaila. Rav Meir holds Nishchata Behema Huchshu B'damel, because you could look at the Behema as being a Yad for the Eiver. Rav Shimon says, how could the Behema be Yad for Eiver? It doesn't make sense. The Eiver could be a Yad for the Behema, but you can't have the Tuffel, the Iker, and the Iker, the Tuffel. The Behema itself can't be a Yad. But according to Rav Meir, the Behema could be a Yad for the Eiver. Rabbi wanted to know, what about a behema b'chayeo? What if the animal was alive? While the animal's alive, and then you have the Eiver HaMedoldol. And we saw in the ratio of the Mishnah, the first case, that the Eiver HaMedoldol, even while it's attached to a live animal, can become tameh, as long as it's huchshel l'kabel tumah. What would be if the behema itself became huchshel l'kabel tumah? Do we look at the behema as being a yad for its Eiver or not? Meaning in the Mishnah's case, you shechted the behema. The behemoth wasn't alive. What if the behemoth was alive? What's the difference? The difference is because maybe a live behemoth can't be a yad. Maybe a live behemoth can't be a yad. What would be the svara? So Pashup Shat, we shouldn't discuss Rash and Tosfos, Pashup Shat would be, is because behemoth is not oichel. And maybe you need oichel in order for it to be a yad. And Hayoisa, behemoth is not an oichel. A behemoth itself is not subject, it's not shaykh to Tumas Eichlin. So being that a behemoth, live behemoth is not shaykh to Tumas Eichlin, that's why it can't be a yad. Meaning nishchata behemoth, so now b'shasta shchita, the behemoth became an oichel. So an oichel to an oichel, maybe could be a yad. In this case, it's the behemoth, it's the ikr, the tafel, that's the shayla, the way Rabbi explained the machlokes. But a live behemoth, being that it's mufka from being oichel, so maybe it can't be a yad either. Frey Tosfos is the obvious question. We just have to speak out to Tosfos. Frey Tosfos, what do you mean? Every yad is an oichel? I mean, how do you understand the Gemara? The stem is an oichel? The bone of a piece of meat is an oichel? So Tosfos, it's very different. Over there, it's be'etzem not an oichel. A stem of a fruit is not an oichel. It's not right. Like, nobody eats stems of food. The bone, people don't eat the bones, unless there's marach inside, but people don't usually eat the bones. So as a result, it is technically, it's physically not an oichel. The behema is oichel be'etzem. People eat it. You know, it's not considered a... So, but you could eat it in theory. Narvas, there's a din that says that it's not an oichel. L'mosh, l'ben pakua, which is kosher. But being that it's alive, it's not subject to Tumas Eichlin because it's halachically mufka. So at some ways, and stems are not halachically mufka. This is halachically mufka. Thus, yesh lemet, this is worse. And maybe over here it can't be a yad. That was Rabbi Shaila. Boy, Rabbi Beim Chayim Ashutas Yad Le'ever. And Rabbi said, Teiku. So on that note, we're going to have a whole bunch of Shailas now with regards to Mesechtes Uktzin Yodis. We're going to start with more halachos. I mean, we just started with the basic halacha of Abraham Adoldo, but we'll see. We're going to literally go through a whole smorgasbord of laws in the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, all related to Yadlis and all similar shailas to Abaya's shailas. Omer Abaya said, Hare Yomru. Chazal said, where did they say this? In the second parak of Masechtas Uktzin. Kishos shenata ba'atzos. If somebody had a cucumber, he planted it in an atzitz. That is a pot, like a flower pot, but very important, it was not a perforated flower pot, as in atzitz nakov, perak maybe get fame. V'higdiva. And it grew, did the cucumber. V'yatzitz chutz la'atzitz. And now part of the cucumber is hanging over, it's hovering over the pot, and it's being yoinik from the ground. The halacha is tahara. The entire cucumber is tahar, meaning it's not mikabel tuma, or if it was tame, it would now become tahar. What's this halacha? We know that something that's mechubel karka, this is Tumah V'Tahara 101. Something that's mechubel karka, it's not mekabel tumah. You have to be detached from the ground in order to be mekabel tumah. But anything that's attached to the ground is not mekabel tumah. Karka is not mekabel tumah. Anything that's mechubel karka is not mekabel tumah. It's for that reason, if you would have something growing in a perforated otzitz, in otzitz nakuv, it's been yoinik from the karka, it's considered mechubel karka with regards to halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. Being that it's been yoinik directly from the ground, we don't look at it as a davar talush, we look at it as a davar that's mechubel karka. It's not mekabel tumah. If something is in an otzitz she'enoy nakuv, so you planted, you have your little flower pot and it's growing, but it's not being yoinik directly from the ground, it's not mechubel karka, it's mechubel to what to what's in the pot, but not what's not the ground beneath it. And as a result, that would obviously be subject to Kabbal Tumah. In this case, in this Mishnah, Masechtas Uktzin, you had a plant that was inside a flower pot. Part of it, however, was hanging out, hovering over, so it was being yoinik. So that's Pashit, that the part that's hanging over, that's being yoinik, is Tahar, because it's Mechubel Karkas, it's not Mechabel Tumah. The question is, what about the part that's inside the Otzitz She'enei Nakov? Do we say that it's Yoinik, it's attached to something that's being yoinik, and all the yinika somehow flows together, so maybe it's all viewed now as being Mechubel Karkas, thus nothing can be Mechabel Tumah. Or maybe not. That's this Mishnah over here. Kisho She'enata Ba'atzitz V'higdila V'yatzitz Chutzlan Otzitz Tahara. The whole thing is tar. Amar Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon said, why? V'chimat tiva letahir. Why should you be metahir everything? Ela hatame betumasai. V'tar, betahir asai. The part that's hovering over, that's mechubel karka, that's been going from the arts, that's going to be tar. But the part that's inside the flower part is going to be tar. Boya bayo. And this abaya klar nishaylo. Ma'u shetase yad lichavirto. The part, according to Rav Shimon, the part of this plant, part of the cucumber is a tar. Part of it is tumah. The part that's not really mekabel tumah, the part that's hovering over. What if tumah touched it? It's not mekabel tumah. But could it be a yad to be machnis tumah to the part that's inside the flower pot, which according to Rav Shimon could be mekabel tumah? So I understand in and of itself can't become tumah. There's tar, and there's tumah. But could the part that's tar be a yad? You'll tell me why not? It's always a yad. Again, similar shayla, because here it's mufka halachically. Because it's not pshat, it's not an oichel. Something that's not an oichel could at least be a yad oichel. But here really it is an oichel. No, there's a din. The din is that if you're mechubel karka, you're not mekabel tumah. This is the shayla. The shayla is something that's mechubel karka. Could it be a yad l'tumas oichlin? Or could it not be a yad l'tumas oichlin? And again, the Gemara says, teiku. Om Rabbi Yirmiyo, hare yamru. Another shayla. Hamishtacheve lechatzi dalas asra. So we know the halacha is that if somebody bows down to something, he treats it like avodah zarah, it becomes asa b'ana. There's a shitas Rav Shimon, where Rav Shimon says that isuri hana are not mekabel tumah. Isuri hana are not mekabel tumah. Again, a lot of Rav Shimon in today's stuff. So isuri hana are not mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yirmiyah wanted to know, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, if somebody now bowed down to half of a dalas. So not the whole dalas, but half of the left side. So he bowed down to half of the dalas. And that half of the dalas, according to Rav Shimon, is now not mekabel tumah. Because it's a suri hana. The other half is mekabel tumah. That half, that's not mekabel tumah. Again, a similar shayla. The dalas is not like it's not the bone, it's not the stem, it's really an oichel. There's a din that it's not mekabel tumah. What's the din? The reason that it's not mekabel tumah is because it's the suri hana. Rav Shimon has a shiti suri hana, not mekabel tumah. So what about with regards to the yad? That hafka is only in and of itself not be mekabel tumah, but it can be a yad l'tumah, maybe can't be a yad l'tumah either. Again, says the Gemara, teiku. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said another shayla. Harei Amru. And where's this? This is also a Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin.
Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches. Yichur Shal Te'ena, if you had a branch of a Te'ena, a fig, Shen Nifshach Umura Biklipasa, so it broke off of the tree and it's hanging on for dear life. So it didn't completely break off, but it mostly broke off. Rabbi Yehuda Matar, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's tar. Zok Rashi Dakati Mechubaru, it's still considered attached to the tree. The Chachamim say it depends. If you're able to put it back to the tree, even if you tied it, you can tie it back together and it's going to have a kiyum, then it's going to be tahar. But if not, it's going to be tame. Okay, what's the shiloh? Boy, Rapapa declared a shiloh. Mao sheyase yad lechaveroi. So Rashi says that what happened over here is you have to add some information, right? The Gemara is not giving us all the information. So take a look at Rashi. Dibra masko. Mao sheyase yad lechaveroi. Im nifshach miyip churze yichor acher. So that was another branch over here. So you have this big branch that detached almost, like the Avraham Adoldol, from the tree, and it's hanging on for dear life. That branch now has another branch that's attached to it that fell off. And that second one you're not able to attach. So what happened over here is the first one is yachal lichyos. The bigger branch you could tie on to the bigger tree. The smaller branch you can't tie on to the bigger branch. This is confusing. What's the point? The point is the bigger one, being that you can tie, is considered mechubal lekarka. It's not mekabel tuma. The smaller one, being that you can't tie it to the bigger branch, is considered talush. That's just mekabel tuma. The question is, could the bigger branch be a yad for the smaller branch? Being that it's technically mechubal lekarka because it's yochal lichyos, so it can't be mekabel tuma. Maybe it can't be a yad either. Or maybe no. Maybe it could be a yad. And again, the Gemara says, teiku amar Rav Zeir, one final shayla. Hare amru evan shebizavis. If you have a cornerstone of a bias, that's a mitzayra. So a bias, a house can become a mitzayra, clothing can become a mitzayra, a person can become a mitzayra. So what happens if there's a house that has a neg on it, kishu chaylets, if the halacha is that you have to remove the evan, based on the rules and regulations of what you do with a base hamenuga, chaylas etzkula. Then you remove the entire oven. Ukishu noitates, but if you're breaking it, noitates eshaloi, umeniach eshalchaver. So what's happening over here is, and this too is a Mishnah, this is in the 13th parak of Masechtas Negayim. So what happened over here is you have this stone, this cornerstone, that really made up the cornerstone of two houses. So Reuven and Shimon are next door neighbors, they share a wall, so to speak. And this is the zavis that really straddles both houses. Reuven's house now became a base hamenuga. So you have to remove stones or destroy it, demolish it, depending on what the halacha dictates. Shimon's half not. So what about this one stone that's for both? So what's the halacha? Say that zok the Mishnah, if the halacha is choylates, remove the stone, then the halacha is remove everything. If the halacha is demolish it, then noitates eshaloi, umineach hashal chaveri. Then you only break your half, the person whose house is tame, but the other person not. By Rav Zeira, Zeira klera shayla, maushatase yad chaverto. What's the halacha? Do we say that the one that doesn't have to be destroyed, could it be a yad for his friend or not? So krashi, chelukat base yad lozel ahachnes tuma the base chaveroi or not? And here too, the Gemara says teiku. It's going to be a teiku. Zok the Gemara weiter. Meso habehema. So again, we're continuing to discuss the halacha of Eiver Hamiduldol and Kezayis Basar Hamiduldolim, where we learn out from Ubasav Asada Chefa Loisei Chelu that just like Eiver Menachayis Asa Bachilo and Kezayis Basar Menachayis Asa Bachilo, the Eiver Hamiduldol and the Kezayis Basar Hamiduldol is Asa Bachilo as well. Stating that, there's a fundamental difference between the Eiver Hamiduldol, Kezayis Basar Hamiduldol, Eiver Menachayis, and certainly versus Nevela. Nevela, Eiver Menachayis, subject to the laws of Tumah as well. Eiver Hamiduldol and is not subject to the laws of Tumah. They are not themselves a source of Tumah. They can become Tumah, Tumas Oichlin, if they're first Huchshu L'Kabel Tumah, but they themselves are not Tumah. And the Mishnah gave three halachas, three different scenarios of the Tumah V'Tahayra ramification of the Eiver HaMedoldol. The first was very straightforward. You have the Eiver HaMedoldol, the animal's alive, but this Eiver is not doing so well. And now it becomes Huchshu L'Kabel Tumah. It's Tumah Tumas Oichlin. A lot of chedushim embedded in that halacha. That was the ratio of the Mishnah. The second case was, what happens when you shech the animal? And now there's dam.
is the Shtam Shchita Machshir the Avraham Adoldol, so that if the Avraham Adoldol comes in contact with Tomei, it should be Tomei or not? What would be the Shaila? Six Piurim in the Shaila. Now we're up to the third case of the Mishnah, the Seifa. So the Mishnah, Meisa Behema. I'm going back to the Mishnah, two lines from the top of Kuf Chav Zayin Amadeus. What happens if you had an Avraham Adoldol and now the Behema died? It just died. So it's an Avela now. The Behema didn't have a Shchita, like in the second case. It's not alive, like in the first case. It died. Right, those are the three cases. The backdrop of the cases are very straightforward. The Reisha, the animal's alive. In the Mitziyasa, the animal had a Kasha Shchita. In the Seifa, the animal just died. So Mesa Behema, Habasa Tzarech Hechsher. The Basa requires Hechsher. In order for it to be now Roy L'Kabal Tuma. There's nothing to be Machshirit. There's no Dam Shchita, and it's Tuma Saichlin. Meaning, the only way it's ever going to become Tameh is if it was Hochshel L'Kabal Tumah. The animal died. Let's look at it as an Avela, right? If the whole animal's an Avela, why should the Eva Medodol or the Bas Medodol be different? So we're going to see this in the Gemara, tomorrow's daf, that the short answer is because the halach is Misa Oysen Nipol. This sounds familiar. Misa Oysen Nipol, and the halacha is that being that while this Basar was attached to the animal, to a degree, we didn't look at it as if it was attached to the animal. We looked at it as being asav achila. We looked at it a little bit of being basav and achai. Shechita didn't even have an ability to be matur when you did the shechita. It's for that reason, now that it dies, we say that it's not part of the animal for it now to be deemed a kizayis basar of that animal that died, that it should be subject to the halachas of Tumas Nevel. We look at it as if it's basav and achai, and kizayis basav and achai is not tavir. Eva Menachai is Tameh, Ksayis Bas Menachai is not Tameh. That's why it's Sarach Hechsher, Gishmak. But Eva Metameh, the Mishnah continued, said, what about an Eva? The Eva is Metameh Mishum Eva Menachai. The Enoi Metameh Mishum Eva Nevel Divi Ram Meir. Rav Shimon Metayer. And Rav Shimon says that it's going to be Tar. So as it relates to the Eva, so again, the Basar is Sarach Hechsher. What about the Eva? The Eva is different. Why would the Eva be different? Because while the Aver was Meduldol, so it wasn't Aver Menachai, so it's for that reason, the only Toma it could have been subject to was Toma Seichlin. It's a Chiddush that it was subject to Toma Seichlin. That was the first part of Kuf Kav Zayin Amud Beis. But it is subject to Toma Seichlin. That's the fact. So being that it's subject to Toma Seichlin, so okay, it is what it is. But there was no Aver Menachai. Now that the animal died, so to the extent that you're not looking at the Aver and the Basar as part of the animal that died, that you should look at it as a Kazayas Nevelo of Eva Menevela, maybe at the very least look at it as Eva Menachai and Kazayas Basar Menachai. And the truth is, if the Lumdus is Misa Oysa Nipoil, that the Misa just completes what had almost happened while the animal was alive, it was almost completely severed while it was alive. What did the Misa do? It completely severed it. It closed the gap from almost to completely. It finished the job. So if that's the case, and we look at that job as having happened while it was alive, because if you look at it as if it happened now, then treat it as an Avela. Elam, are you looking as if it happened before? Say you should look at it as Eva Menachai. So as it relates to Basar, you could look at it as Basar Menachai. It makes no difference. Because Basar Menachai is Asa Bachila, Basar Medoldol is Asa Bachila. Basar Menachai is not Tameh anyways, so Basar Medoldol is also not going to be Tameh. So this Basar is not going to be Tameh. The only way it will be Tameh is if it's Tumas Oichlin, which is what Tzarech Hechsher means. Tzarech Hechsher is just a way of saying that the only Tumah can have is Tumas Oichlin. It's not a source of Tumah. Nevela doesn't need Hechsher. A mace doesn't need Hechsher to become Tameh, because it's a source of Tumah. Sheretz doesn't need Hechsher to become Tameh. Food that's becoming Tameh from an external source needs Hechsher. Because that's as it relates to the Basar. What about with the Aver? So the Aver is Metameh Mishom Aver Menachai, Vein Metameh Mishom Aver Nevela. We treat it as Aver Menachai. Reb Shimon says, you don't look at it as Tumah either. So from here until the end of today's daf, what the Gemara is going to discuss is Reb Meir. So Reb Meir said that as it relates to the Aver, again, the Aver Amidoldo of an animal that now died, where the halacha is that this Aver is going to be Tameh. What Tumah? According to Rameir, Shimon says it's Tameh. But according to Rameir, it's going to be Tameh. What Tumah is it going to have? Says Rameir, Tumas Aver Menachai, not Tumas Aver Nevela. And the Gemara is really very straightforward. It's a long Amud, but it's not going to take a long time. And the Gemara asks a very straightforward question, and that is, my Ikub Ben Aver Menachai, Aver Shal Nevela. What difference does it make according to Rameir? Right, Rameir went out of his way to say, you know what the Tumah is going to be? Tumas Aver Menachai, not Tumas Aver Nevela. Aver Menachai is Tameh, Aver Nevela is Tameh. I didn't realize, says the Gemara, that there's even a difference between Eva Menachai and Eva Menanavela. I know, they're both Tameh. They're both real things. So, like, what difference does it make? Rav Meir says, you know which tuma? It's eva min achai. It's not eva min avela. As if there's a difference. Freik the Gemara. My ikubay eva min achai leivish on avelos. Ok, the Gemara ikubay nayu baser hapirish mimenu. You're right. There's no difference as it relates to the eva itself. There really is no difference. But what if there was baser attached to the eva, and now baser detached from that eva? What's the halacha? The ilu baser hapirish eva min achai leimetamo. The halacha is the baser that detaches from eva min achai is not tame. Because we look at it as basam and achai. And basam and achai is not tome. It's awesome, but it's not tome. However, me'evin avela matama. But basa that's poirish me'evin avela is tome. So you're right. As it relates to the actual aver, it makes no difference. But the basa that's poirish from the aver, if you look at it as tumas evin and achai, it's going to be tar. If you look at it as tumas avela, it's going to be tome. And that's what Reb Shimon was coming to say in the Mishnah, that the aver is going to be tome, mishum evin and achai, na mishum aver, na vela. Zok de gemara, me'ev matama. How do you know that Avim and Achai is Tom? How do you know Avim and Achai is Tom? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, man, right. The pasuk says regarding Tumas Nevela, V'chiyomus min abehemo ashehi lochem la'ochlo hanegeya b'nevlosa yitma ad'ar. This too is in the end of Parashat Shemini. I think after learning these sugyas, it's impossible to ever look at Parashat Shemini the same way. So this is half of a fellow. Like after learning Zvachim Kufalif, and you know, you can't look at the first part of Masechta Shemini ever, Parashat Shemini ever again. Feels like Masechta Shemini. But as it relates to these Aperka Arva right. This is we learned so much of Parshas hard stuff. Parshas Shemini. But either way, the pasuk says v'chiyomus min habehema ashehi lochem la'achlo. So Parshas the pasuk saying that if a behema dies, a kosher animal, and a gebin of losa, yitma da'aref tumas mango of ne veva. But the pasuk says not the chiyomus behema, which is what it should have said. Chiyomus mina behema. Zok the Gemara, you know what it's coming to teach me, that mina behema, part of a behema, such as even menachai is tame. Frank the Gemara, I mean, how could you dash mina behema to teach me even menachai is tame? I need it for something else. Also, Rabbi Yudam Rav, the Amar Rabbi Yudam Rav, I'm a little bit maslisa tame. Some say it's a price. Chiyomus mina behema mixes behema matame mixes behema ena matame. There are certain animals that even though they're aser bachila and feel like maybe they should be tame, still they're not. The ezoi zu treifa sheshachta, a treifa, even though it's similar to an avela, can't eat it, but it's very different. What's the way it's different? There's no tumah by a treifa. What's the makar? Again, this pasuk, it's only mina behema. Some behemas are tame, some are not. So I already use mina behema to teach me a kula that a treifa shenishchita is tahar. How could I use it to teach me a chumra that eva menachai is tahmez? Ok, the Gemara, and came lichte brachmana mi behema. Mayim, mina behema shma minotarti. Meaning what the pasuk should have said was v'chiyamas behema. From the fact that it didn't say that, I learned two halachas. I learned, number one, that a treifa that has a shchita is tahar. Number two, that eva menachai is tahmez. How do you learn two? Because really, even if the Torah just wanted to teach me one drasha, it could have said v'chiyamas mi behema. That would have taught me what? V'chiyamus min ha-behema teaches me two drashas, one kula, one chumra, two extremely important halachas, and it all comes from the word min. Either way, zok de gemara shmami notarti. Ihachi, if that's the case, I feel basa nami boy. Why is it that only eva menachai is tame, basa menachai is not tame? I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't say anything about eva. What does it say? V'chiyamus min ha-behema. So just like an eva is min ha-behema, basa is also min ha-behema. So if eva menachai is tame from min ha-behema, why is basa menachai not tame from the same pasuk? Zok de helagi gemara lo yisol gedaitach. Don't even think that. The tanya. Because we learned in a brayse, you would think that basa perish menachai should be tame. Talmud loy mar v'chiyamus mena behema. Okay, what do you see? That man miso she'eno isa chalipin. Af kol she'eno isa chalipin. Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says because the emphasis is on the word v'chiyamus mena behema. Miso is something that until tchias ha'mesim cannot be undone. So too, it has to be something that detached from the animal that can't be undone. An aver that's removed, there's no way for that aver to regenerate. But because I is basar can regenerate. Spoke about the bone marrow earlier in the week. It could regenerate. And as a result, it's not dumya de misa. Thus, it's not nisraba from this pasuk of the chiyamas min abehema. Because although min abehema, but the chiyamas has to be dumya to misa, which is eino isa chalip. Kiva, min kiva says behema. Now, I learned from the word behema itself. Not behema, gidim atzomis. I've called gidim atzomis. It says the chiyamas min abehema. So the word is behema. The behema died. That's the pasuk shat in the pasuk. That's the pshat in the pasuk. If a behema dies, it's an avela. Kan egemen of losi yitma da'ar. But there's a drush. The drush is min a behema, even part of a behema. But min a behema, that min That part has to be similar to a degree to the entire behemoth. Okay, so just like the behemoth is made up of sinews and bones, I've called gidim atzamos. The aver has in it gidim and atzamos. The kizayis pasul doesn't have gidim atzamos, so it's not similar to behemoth. Rebbe says a third pshat. Behemoth, like, very similar to Rebbe Akiva, so much so the Gemara can even ask what the difference is, but similar to Rebbe Akiva, that has to be Dumya de behema, but my behema basar gidim atzamos. Behema, what makes the behema unique? So Rebbe Akiva said what makes the behema unique is it has gidim and atzamos. Rebbe said what makes behema unique is that it has basar gidim atzamos. I've called basar gidim atzamos. Either way, three pshatim. How you know that even though with darshim mina behema to tell me this tumah by evim minachai, but we're not going to darshim mina behema to tell me that this tumah by kizai is basar minachai. Zok the Gemara. So you had three pshatim. They all seem a little similar. My ikka bein Rebbe the Rebbe Akiva. We start with the last two, which are very similar. Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva could not say the same thing. Rabbi Akiva said, "Do me the behemoth that has gidim atzamos, as opposed to Gizai's buster that doesn't have gidim atzamos." Rebbe added, "It has buster gidim atzamos." What's the difference? Gibinayu arkuva, the lower leg, the lower part of the leg of the animal. So that part of the animal has gidim vatzamos, but doesn't have buster. And being that there's no buster gidim vatzamos, so the question is, do you look at it as Eva Menachai? Do you not look at it as Eva Menachai? Meaning, is it Tomei or is it not Tomei? If you need Basa Gidim Vatzamayis, not. If all you need is Gidim Vatzamayis, then yeah. Bein Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yitzhak, Lili, Ma Yikabe Nayo. So Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yitzhak, Lili had different drushes. Rabbi Yitzhak, Lili learned it from the word Misa, not Misa Eino Isa Chalipin. Rabbi Kiva learned it from Behema. But so the Gemara's question is not what's the difference in Jerusha, but is there an afkimina lalach? And the Gemara says, yes, Amar Papa, Kuyu, Venivs Vasayim, Nikibe Nayo. The kidney or the lips. So these are things that will not regenerate. So from that standpoint, there ain't no oisa chalipin, but at the same time, you don't have gidim vatzamos. So if the criteria is gidim vatzamos, there is no gidim vatzamos. If the criteria is oisa chalipin, ain't oisa chalipin, it's oisa chalipin. Zok Gemara, this brice that we just had, that brought three makairis, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi, how you know that even though Eva Menachai is tameh from Mina Behema, but Kizai is Bas Menachai is not tameh, even though Mina Behema should be married by that as well, we have very similar rights with regards to Shratzim. So Sheretz like a Behema, only Shemayna Shratzim, are Metama. Their Nevela is. The Halach is, their Aver is Metama, not Kizayas Basa. And the question is, how do I know that? Zok Gemara, Tanya Nami Gabi Shmoyne Gabi Shrotzim Kai Gavni Yochel Basar Poyresh Mena Shrotzim Yeitame. You would think that Basar that was Poyresh from a live Sheretz. Again, this is not the Nevelas Sheretz, then everything is Tomei. We're discussing with a live Sheretz, just like this Eva Menachai and Kizayis Basa Menachai with a Behema. You have Eva Menachai and Kizayis Basa Menachai with a Sheretz as well. Ayin Rashi. But either way, it says the Brisa Yochel Basa Perish Menashuatzim Yei Tomei. Talmud Loimra B'moisa. It says B'moisa. Ma Misa She'eno Isa Chalipin. Of course, She'eno Isa Chalipin. Nevri Yosei Aglili. And Kizayis Basa is Isa Chalipin. Chiva Oima Sheretz. Has to be similar to Sheretz. My Sheretz Gidim Atzamos. I've called Gidim Atzamos. Rebbe Yoimer Sheretz. My Sheretz Basar Gidim Atzamos. I've called Basar Gidim Atzamos. The identical Brisa. The first Brisa was regards to the Behemoth. The second Brisa was regards to Sheretz. Zok Gemara. Bein Rebbe Akiva Kibbein Ayi. What's the difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva? Rebbe Darshan Sheretz is Basar Gidim Atzamos. Rebbe Akiva Darshan Sheretz is Gidim Atzamos. What has Gidim Atzamos but doesn't have Basar Gidim Atzamos? That's the question. Arkuva, the lower leg. But Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, Kibbeinayu. Rabbi Akiva Darshan, that has to have Gidim Atzamos. Rabbi Yisrael Glili Darshan, has to be Oysa Chalipin. Says the Gemara again. The difference is, Amar Papa, Kuy Venivis Vasayin, Kibbeinayu. The kidney and the lip. So, Okta Gemara Vitzrich. I need both of these brises. One brise regarding Behema, and the other brise regarding Shrots. The Ashmina Behema had only had it regarding Behema, Hainu Tamid Loim Tam. I would have thought this whole discussion is only true by Behema. You know why? The reason that Kazayas Basar, Menachai, even though it's also Ba'achila, is not Metama, it's Mishud Loi Metama B'Kadasha. Because Basar of a Behemoth has a Chumra, or Kula actually, that it's not Metama B'Kadasha. The size of Adasha is not enough for it to be Tami, neither Kazayas. Al Sheretz that has a Chumra, the Metama B'Kadasha, Emel Tami Michayin. I would think that a Kazayas Basam and a Sheretz is more common than a Kazayas Basam and a Behemoth. Why not? Why? Because he finds the sheer Tumas even B'Kadasha. So Sheretz is more common than Behemoth to that degree, so maybe it manifests itself with regards to the Tumah of Basam and Achai. Yashmin on Sheretz. And had the price only said by Sheretz. Mishum, Loim Tama b'masa Sheretz has a kula. There's no tumas masa. Therefore, loy matama michayim. Abu behema, but nevela of a behema the matama b'masa emet the tama b'chayim. Zok de Gemara tzricha.
So Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. We mentioned yesterday that it's not only the Yom Adin for Klal Yisrael, but it's the Yom Adin for all Maisei Olam. It's the Yom Adin for all Yitzurei Ked.
We also mentioned yesterday, b'shem di'abarbanel, and it's pashat l'chayra, that the nature of the din as it relates to Klal Yisrael is very different than the nature of the din as it relates to the other nations of the world. The mi yichye u'mi yamos of the yid is dependent on his schuyos and his avoynos. The mi yichye and the mi yamos of the Umay Sa'ilam are dependent on their mask. But as it relates to the entire world, literally from sea to shining sea, Echad B'Tishrei is the judgment day. It's the Yom Hadin. And the question is why? Why is it that from the 365 solar days of the year, the Torah chose Echad B'Tishrei to be the Yom Hadin? The Ran in the sugyos of Din in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah is the Maramakim. He's the one that asks this question. V'yesh lishal, lama adam nidayim b'Rosh Hashanah yoysem mi b'shar yamim. Why is it that man is judged on Rosh Hashanah yoysem mi b'shar yamim? And the Ran says a teretz. It's based really on a psikta de Rav Kahana. That is that we know there's a machlikus in the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah daf yud, Rosh Hashanah daf yud aleph, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. When was the world created? Rabbi Eliezer says B'tishrei nivra ha'olam. Rabbi Yeshua says, B'nisan nivra ha'olam. Truth is, if you go through that sugya properly, you'll see that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing about a lot of big milestones that happened in world history. Did they happen in Tishrei or did they happen in Nisan? Additionally, they argued about milestones that are going to happen in the future, such as the Geula. Rabbi Eliezer holds, as we spoke about yesterday, B'nisan nigalu u'b'tishrei asidim ligal. Rabbi Yeshua holds B'nisan nigalu u'b'nisan asidim ligal. But as it relates to Bria Sa'ilam, that was one of the milestones that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua debated in terms of, historically speaking, when exactly did it happen. Rabbi Eliezer said it happened B'echad B'tishrei. Rabbi Yeshua said that it happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Says the Psikta Rav Kahana that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, it means not that the world was created in Tishrei, but it means that man, who was the purpose of creation, was created on Tishrei. In fact, the Psikta Rav Kahana says that it was on the first day of Tishrei that man, Adam HaRishon, was created. Which means, by the way, that when was the world created? It was created on Chav Hei Elul. But the point is, says the Ran, b'shem this Psikta Rav Kahana, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that holds B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, what it means is that Adam HaRishon was created Be'echad B'Tishrei. Now we know that the day that Adam HaRishon was created, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. And after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged him, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him. Which means that Echad B'Tishrei goes down in history as being a day of din. The first time there was ever din, the first time there was ever judgment in world history was on Echad B'Tishrei. Says Duran, that's the reason that Echad B'Tishrei became the day for din. It's really an idea that traces itself back all the way to the beginning of time. Echad B'Tishrei is the day that Adam HaRishon was created. Adam HaRishon sinned and was judged, meaning there was din on Adam HaRishon on his very, very first day of existence, which means the first day of din was Echad B'Tishrei, and that's why Echad B'Tishrei would go down as a day of din. It's interesting that the Ran says that Kefiya Mevur, and this Psikta de Rav Kahana, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, it doesn't mean that the world was created Echad B'Tishrei, but it means that Adam HaRishon was created Echad B'Tishrei. When was the world created? On Chav Hei Elul. He said that would explain the minig in Barcelona, where B'Chav Hei Elul, everybody wakes up, Bashmiris HaBoker, and they start reciting Slichas. They don't wait until Rosh Hashanah. They don't wait until the Aser Simei Tshuva. But already, Zrizim Makdimin, they start several days before Rosh Hashanah. And the day that they used to start was not the Matzah Shabbos before, not Rosh Chodesh Elul, it was Chav Hei Elul. And says the Ran, the Minig is based on this Psikta Rav Kahana, because if Adam HaRishon was created on Echad B'Tishrei, and he was created on the sixth day of creation, that means Yom Bria Sa'olam was on Chav Hei Elul. Therefore, it's a time to beseech the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the minhag was that they would start saying Slichos Davka B'Chav Hei Elul. But either way, says the Ran, that according to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that holds B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, and it means Adam HaRishon was created in Tishrei, and he sinned and was judged on that day, that would explain very beautifully why from all the days of the year,
Echa B'Tishrei was chosen to be the Yom HaDin. But the Ran continues, and the Ran says, it still bothers me. The Teinach L'Rabbi Eliezer. This all explains Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, who holds B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. Aval Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar B'Nisan Nivra Olam, Akati Hodra Kushin L'Duchte, Lama Nidem B'Rosh Hashanah Yoisami B'Shar Hayam. Says the Ran, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, that holds B'Nisan Nivra Olam, the Kasha is still a Kasha. Why is it that man is judged by Echa B'Tishrei? And then the Ran says another pshat. He says, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have to say, being that we know that the din of Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Hashanah, but it really just starts on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't end until Yom Kippur. In other words, it's a 10-day trial. So this mishpat of the Yid is something that takes 10 days. The idea that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin is a little bit of a misnomer. It's the first day of the trial. But really, it's going to continue for a 10-day period. The Chasima, the Gemar Din, is not going to happen until Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we know, is a day of Slicha Mechila. Says the Ran, the Eibishter wanted that the last day of the Din should be on a day where there's so much Rachamim and there's so much Hashpois Toivois in the world, because he felt that that is something that would only benefit the Yidden that are standing in front of the Kisei HaKoven and are giving Din B'Cheshben. As if to say, this Shoifet, this judge, is someone that's full of compassion to the defendant that's standing in front of him. Now he knows there's a Seder of Din B'Cheshben. There's no other way for this to work. But at the same time, the judge knows that there's a certain day where on this day, for whatever reason, there's going to be a certain Midas HaRachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachim L'Chanim B'Din, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the Gemar of the Din should be on a day where there's so much Rachamim, Slicha, Mechila in the ear, and therefore working backwards. He said, one second, if I want the din to end on Yom Kippur, and the din is 10 days, okay, so let's go back. The ninth day is going to be test, the eighth day is going to be ches, and you get to where the starting point of the din is going to be on Echa B'Tishrei. So there's no inherent reason, says the Ran, Aliba the Rab Yeshua, for the Yom HaDin to be on Rosh Hashanah. But working backwards, wanting the Chesimus HaDin to be on Yom Kippur, what you really end up with is the Tchilas HaDin being a Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it's Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, whether B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, B'Nisan Nivra Olam, one of the manifestations in Havana, in Hashkafa, in Yesoides of Yiddishkeit, is understanding why Rosh Hashanah goes down as being the Yom HaDin. According to Rabbi Eliezer, B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, it's based on the Psikta that really Adam HaRishon was created, B'Tishrei, and which day Tishrei, Be'echa B'Tishrei. If that's the case, Adam HaRishon, we know, sinned and was judged on that day. That was the first Yom HaDin in history. That goes down the Deiris as being the Yom HaDin. According to Rabbi Yeshua, Brias Olam happened 6 months apart. No Shaychis to this time of year. It happened in the spring. It happened B'Chodesh Aviv. It happened in the Zman of Nisan HaMif for some. It happened in a completely, completely different time. It happened in Chodesh Nisan. Okay, so what Shaychis Chodesh Tishrei to did? It can't be Adam HaRishon. It can't be the Eitz Hadas. It can't have anything to do with that. Taka has nothing to do with that. It's based on the fact that we know it's a 10-day judgment and we want the 10th day to be on Yom Kippur. Working backwards, we end up with it being a Rosh Hashanah. Tzidua, that the Svar Makdoshim say a little bit of a different mahalach. It's Alpi Darkoi Shal Haran. But this is an idea that's expressed in all the Svar Makdoshim. That is, in this machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether B'Tishrei Nivra Olam or B'Nisa Nivra Olam, Toisvis and Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, brings in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, who said, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. That really, as it relates to our understanding of it, we're mekabel, we accept Shitas Rabbi Eliezer and Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. How's that possible? Either it happened B'Tishrei or it happened B'Nisan. Said Rabbeinu Tam, it was all of the machshava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world in Chodesh Tishrei, like Rabbi Eliezer, but ultimately he didn't create it until Chodesh Nisan, like Rabbi Yeshua. So Lidi Dan, says Tosfos, on some level we take on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. The Iker we're taking on Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Prius Oilam happened on Chodesh Nisan. But Elo Elo Diverli Kim Chayim, there is a Kiyum of Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, and that is, although Brias HaOlam didn't happen in Tishrei, but it was all of a machshava to create the world in Chodesh Tishrei. So say this farm, Makdoshim, the Goy and the Ramami Pano, all this farm, say this, that we know Rashi brings in the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, Bereishis, Baruch, Elikim, Eis HaShemayim, Eis HaAretz, that it was all of a machshava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world, Elikim, B'midas Adin. But then David to realize that there was no way the world would have a Kiyum B'midas Adin, so he was Shitev within a Midas HaRachamim. But when it was all of a machshava to create the world, the all of a machshava was B'midas Adin. When was it all of a machshava to create the world? It was Be'echa B'Tishrei. That's why Tishrei goes down as a Zman of Din, because that's when it was all of a machshava to create the world, and it was all of a machshava to create the world B'midas Adin. Taimik, of course, is, again, the idea that the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that the all of a machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't just like a Havamina, right? We have a Havamina sometimes and we'll like scratch that. Forget about that. Make believe I never said it. The Olam Machshava created a world, and that's why there really is a world of them, and that's the Oymek of Tzadikim, Medaktikim, Aleim, Kuchot Asayra, and the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that's Pshata, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva, and first he saw his Torah, and then he saw Schara, he saw the way the Romans were torturing him, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zu Torah v'su Schara, and the Eibishter tells him, Shtoy, Kach Ola Lefaneh B'machshava, and the Sfarim say, what did the Eibishter mean when he said, Kach Ola Lefaneh B'machshava, that there was a world that was created with the Ola B'machshava, and that's the world of Midas Hadin, and Tzadikim are judged through that world, so it should be better for them in Olam Haba, and Rabbi Akiva is one of those Tzadikim, and in the world of Machshava, in the world of Din, it makes sense that you could be Rabbi Akiva. It could be Zut Torah, and you could end up being tortured by the Romans. It's going to be a Zut Schara. But the point is that being the Chodesh Tishrei was the Chodesh where it was all of a machshava to create the world. And it was all of a machshava to create it. B'midas Adin. That's why Chodesh Tishrei goes down as the Chodesh of Din. The Sfarim HaKadoshim continued, and they said that that's Pshat in the Nusach HaTfilah that we say throughout Rosh Hashanah. Hayoyim haras oylam, hayoyim yamid ba'mishpat kol yitzurei oylamim. Hayoyim, not leidas oylam. Hayoyim haras oylam. Haras is miloshin, conceived. It's miloshin heroyon. Today's the day the world was conceived of. Today's the day that it was not created, but ola b'machshava. And being that it was ola b'machshava to create the world b'midas adin, therefore hayoyim yamid b'mishpat kol yitzurei oylamim. Because it's not the day of leidas oylam. It's the day of haras oylam. And it was all of a machshava b'midas adin memeila hayoyim yamid b'mishpat kol yitzurei oylam. But the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that b'tishrei nivra oylam, we have the Ran's first mahalach, and why Rosh Hashanah is b'echad b'tishrei. According to Rabbi Yeshua, that holds b'nisa nivra oylam, we have the Ran's second mahalach of why Rosh Hashanah is b'echad b'tishrei. And even according to Rabbeinu Tam, who said that l'didan elu ve'elu divrei elikim chayim, we also have a new mahalach, a third pshat, that's mavur and all the svarim, of why it is that Echad B'Tishrei is the Yoyim Hadin. Now, as it relates to the actual Yoyim Hadin, what are we being judged for? So at first glance, sounds like the Shoyal never opened up a machza. We know what we're being judged for on Rosh Hashanah. We say it more explicitly in the Unesana Toikev, the second part. Fast forwarding, mi yisholev, umi yisyasar, mi eyoni, umi eyosher, mi yishofel, umi yorim. Our whole fate, our whole destiny, what our year is going to be like, is what we're judged for. Stating that, it's a drop more complicated than that. And really, this next ha'ara begins with a well-known gemara, a gemara mesachtes Rosh Hashanah, daf tezayin on the base. The gemara says, Omer Rab Krus Bedoy, Omer Rab Yoichanan. Rab Krus Bedoy said in the name of Rab Yoichanan, Shleish Svarim, Deftachim, Rosh Hashanah. There are three books, there are three Svarim that are open on Rosh Hashanah. Echad shal Rishon Gemurim, the Echad shal Tzadikim Gemurim, the Echad shal Beinanim. Tzadikim Gemurim, the Tzadikim Gemurim, Nechtovim, V'nechtomim La'alta L'chayim. Rishoim Gemurim, Nechtovim, V'nechtomim La'alta L'misa. Beinoinim, Kluim, Vaimdim, Mirosh Hashanah, Vaidyam, Makipurim. Zachu, Nechtavim, Lechayim, Lois Zachu, Nechtavim, Lemisa, Amr Ababin, Maikra, and he brought a pasuk to back up this whole idea. But Rab Krispadoi said that he was Makabu from the great Rabbi Yochanan. Then on Rosh Hashanah, there's Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason. There's three books that are open. And every single person ends up in one of those three books. One of the books are Sifrei Chaim. The other book is Sifrei Mason. Or one of the book is the Sifran Shal Tzadikim Gemurim. The other book is the Sifran Shal Rishon Gemurim. And the other book is the book of the Beinonim. If you're in the book of Tzadikim Gemurim, meaning if you're a Tzadik Gomer, you nechtav v'nechtam la'alta l'chaim. If somebody, Rachman al-Atzlan, is in the book of Rishoim Gemurim, that means he's nechtav v'nechtam la'alta l'misa. And if somebody gets put in the book of the Beinani, that means that we're deferring for now, and we're going to kick the can down the road. In 10 days from now, Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, we're going to revisit this person's mishpat, and we're going to determine which one of the two. So every person gets written, right? Every single person gets written. Shaila, which book he's written in? Is he in the book of the Tzadikim? If you can visualize this, it's helpful. Is he in the book of the Rishon, or is he going to be put in the book of the Beinonim, where he's going to not really be addressed until Yom Kippur? From the Lashon of the Gemara, it sounds like if somebody ends up in the book of the Tzaddik Gomer, I mean, if someone's a Tzaddik, so he's Nechta V'Nechtam L'chaim. If somebody's a Rasha, he's Nechta V'Nechtam L'misa. If he's a Beinani, which usually is understood to mean he's Mechza Schuyes and Mechza Avoynes, he's literally 50-50, so somebody like that ends up getting pushed off to Yom Kippur. But for sure, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Tzaddikim, or in the words of the Gemara, the Tzaddikim Gemurim, anechta v'nechtam la'alta l'chaim. The Rishoim Gemurim, anechta v'nechtam la'alta l'misa. And the Beinonim get pushed off. All the Rishoim, every single Rishon ever, asks, I don't understand Pash Pshat in Rab Krispadoi Yom Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that the din, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, depends on a person's ma'aseh? As if to say that if you're a tzaddik, you're automatically going to go l'chayim, and if you're a Rasha, you're automatically going to go l'misa. It's not true. It's factually incorrect. We've all been around long enough to know that that's not the way it is. There are tzaddikim that die. Nobody lives forever, right? Let's start there. So there are tzaddikim that die, and there are Risham v'zleben achazer shetog that have everything very, very good. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that the tzaddik is nechtav l'chaim and the rosh is nechtav l'misa? Hachush meyid that it's not like that. Just explain this a little bit better. We know some people are nechtav nechtam l'chaim and some people are nechtav nechtam l'misa. Rabbi Yochanan seems to have a very utopian way of looking at it, right? Oh, it makes perfect sense. You're a good guy, you're going to go l'chaim. You're not a good guy, you're going to go l'misa. Which, by the way, think of a mishpat ba'al mahadein. In most cases, if you're innocent, you'll be fine. And if you're not, you won't be fine. So it makes sense that dalmine corruption, that's really the way it should work. Oh, it's perfect, yeah. Tzadikim anechtav nechtam l'chaim risham, anechtav nechtam l'misa. The problem is, it doesn't work that way. The problem is, we know for a fact it's not that way. We know there's an idea of a tzadik v'raloi. We know there's an idea of a rosh of a toivloi. Now, why and how there could be a tzadik v'raloi, that's the nister sheben istarim. Even Moshe Rabbeinu Chazal say, ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, could you explain to me, please, how it makes sense that there could be a person who's a tzaddik gomer who does everything right, and somehow you don't stop punishing him, and he's tortured, and he has chaliya guf and chaliya nefesh, and he's dealing with so many tzaras in his life, and then you have people that don't stop doing the wrong thing, and they literally do every single thing wrong, and it looks like they're being showered with shefa. It's a pliya tzuma that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNeviim, didn't understand. But at the end of the day, it's the Metzias. The Metzias is a concept of a tzaddik virali. There's a concept of a rosh of a toivloi. So how could Rab Krispadoi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan say, oh, it makes perfect sense, right? The way you would love to think it is when you're a little child. That if you're roiv schuyos, you're tzaddik, everything's going to be amazing. And if you're roiv avoinis, everything's not going to be okay. The Ramban, in his drasha on Rosh Hashanah, so one of the core Ma'ar Mekoymus in terms of Ramban is, he gave a very, very long drasha on Rosh Hashanah. It's definitely Dabar B'itay Matay to go through it here. And the Ramban is one of the Rishayinim that asks this kasha. He doesn't understand Pashup Shana Rabbi Yochanan. Listen to his lashon. He says, V'chiloi ro zeh ha-chacham, referring to Rabbi Yochanan. Did this chacham Rabbi Yochanan, did he never see Sefer Iyev Me'olam? What, did he miss Sefer Yiv? I mean, Yiv was a tzaddik, and he's the quintessential tzaddik viraloi. So says the Ramban, I don't know, he never saw Sefer Yiv? Like, where's Rabbi Yechon live? But Rabbi Yechon himself buried 10 sons. Then Garma Dasi Rabbi. I don't think there's anyone in the world that understood tzaddik viraloi more than the great Rabbi Yechon on himself. But the bottom line is, v'chi loy rozeh chocham Sefer Yiv mi'oilam, shu mo'e teichochoy salzeh. It doesn't make any sense. What Poshib Shan Rabbi Yechon? And the truth is, there are many, many mahalchim in the Rishonim to answer this kasha. But there's two primary mahalchim. The first is known as Shitas Toisvis, and the second one is known as Shitas Aramban. Toisvis, often known as Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayinim, asks this kasha, and Toisvis says an unbelievable chiddush. Toisvis says that when Rabbi Krispedoy said the name Rabbi Yochanan, that the tzaddikim gemurim anechtav anechtam la'alta l'chayim, and the Rishonim gemurim anechtav anechtam la'alta l'misa, he wasn't talking about the din of Oilam Hazeh. Chaim and Misa, in that memory of Rabbi Yochanan, does not mean a good life versus struggling. What then was he possibly referring to? Says Tosfos, he was referring to Kiloimar Lechaye Ha'olam Haba. He was referring to Olam Haba. In other words, every single year Rabbi Yochanan was being Mechadish, there's a Yom HaDin on the person that's going to determine whether this person is a Ben Olam Haba or he's not a ben oilam abba. Tzadikim gemurim, the people that are roiv schuyois, then nechtovim v'nechtam la'alta l'chaim, they're going to be people that are going to be bnei oilam abba. The people that are reshoim, then nechtovim v'nechtam la'alta l'misa, they are going to be gepaskind, that they're not going to be zoichet oilam abba. And the beinim are going to be punted, they're going to have to wait until Yom Kippur to figure out exactly what their fate is going to be. A bezok toisvis, that's posh. That as it relates to chayi oilam hazeh, you can't say that a person's good year versus bad year is going to be determined on whether he's roiv schuyois versus roiv avoinis, because the reality, the mentzias, is not that way. There's a concept of a tzaddik Raloi, there's a concept of a Rosh of a Toivloi. It can't be. So what does this price mean when it talks about the Tzaddik versus the Rosh and Chaim versus Misa? Kloimar Chaim means Chayo Elam Abba. Misa means that the person's not going to have Misa anymore. Now, why is this a Chiddush? The reason a Chiddush is because why is a person being judged in the middle of his life whether or not when he dies, the Achrei Kechloi Sakoil, he's going to be a Ben Olam Haba, not going to be a Ben Olam Haba. The appropriate time to have the din on Olam Haba is when it's all said and done. But right now, he's in the middle of the game. It doesn't make sense that right now, there's going to be a psak. Did he win or did he lose? I don't know. There's a lot of game to play. We'll figure it out as everything develops and unfolds. So Kemuvin, it's a very, very big Kiddush. But the bottom line is, Tosfos says, it's the only way for me to understand this memory from Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us that there's a din on Olam Haba, and it's regarding that din on Olam Haba, that the tzaddikim are immediately l'chaim, and the Rishon immediately l'misa. The second mahalach is the Ramban. And this Ramban is in his drosha on Rosh Hashanah. It's also in his Shara Gemol. The Ran, by the way, in Rosh Hashanah says this mahalach of the Ramban very much by Rikas as well. And that is, Avad Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about the din of Olam Haba. He was talking about the din of Olam Haza. What v'chilei ra, chacham zeh, sefer yiv me'olam. What's Pashup Shat? How could he say that the tzaddik is automatically the chaim and the rosh is automatically the misa? Says the Ramban, the pshat is, when Rabbi Yochanan said, Tzadikim gemurim, anechtav anechtam, la'alter b'chayim, and Rishon manat, he didn't mean that the tzaddik is a tzaddik in the conventional definition of the word tzaddik. He doesn't mean, oh, he's a tzaddik, he's the god of Adar, as opposed to the Rasha, he's an oisvarf. What he means is, any person that's yotza, tzaddik bedin, is going to be nechtav anechtam l'chayim, and someone that's Yotza Chaya B'din, he's going to be Nechta V'Nechta V'Misa. Milosh and HaPosik, says Ramban, V'Tztiku Es Atzadik, V'Hushiyu Es HaRosha. Right, we won Shtal Tzu recently. Ho'im Esel Azul Letztok, Amanashi Yichya B'ni, Areza Tzadik Gomer. Could be Tzadik Gomer means Milosh and V'Tztiku Es Atzadik, V'Hushiyu Es HaRosha. It's a Mefurish Ramban. That the Tzadik Gomer in this sugi over here, Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Amadeis, means someone that was Yotza Tzadik B'din. And the Rosha means someone that's Yotza Rosha B'din. But Avadi is talking about the din of Olam Haza. Avadi is talking about the din of Olam Haza. The kasha. How could you say the tzaddik automatically has chayim? We know sometimes the tzaddik dies. Because the tzaddik in this memory of Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean that he's what we think. He could be the biggest rasha, but he was yotze tzaddik b'din, for whatever reason. And v'tzdiko is a tzaddik. Right, the person that walks away from a dine mamonis case being owed money, he's the tzaddik. Is he a tzaddik? No, in that pasuk, Vitzdika was a tzaddik. In this mishpat, he's the tzaddik. So too, the tzaddik gomer over here, Rabbi Yochanan's memra, doesn't mean the tzaddik. So when we say there's three svarim that are opened up, it doesn't mean one is for the Heilige Yidin, and the other one is for the Rishuim, and then there's everybody else. No, one is for the people that are yatzah zakim. You go through the list of people that are tzaddik gomer in this farm, you'll be pretty surprised. You'll be, what? What is he doing here? Right? I think you have the wrong... No, he's Yotze Zake B'den. And if it's Yotze Zake B'den, he goes then. As if it's Tikwa Tzaddik, if it's that reason that he's there. But the bottom line is, a huge machloikis rishonim had to understand. Had to understand Rabbi Yochanan's mem. Rabbi Yochanan said, the shloisha svarim nechtav, that on Rosh Hashanah, one is for Tzadikim Gemurim, one is for Risham Gemurim, the other one is for Beninim. If you end up in the Sefer of Tzadikim Gemurim, you nechta v'nechtam la'alta l'chaim, Risham Gemurim, Vilnash Ozugim v'mol, and the Beninim get pushed off until Yom Kippur. According to Tosfos, these three Svarim are Negeya, not Oilam Hazeh. It's Negeya whether they're Bnei Oilam Haba. According to the Ramban, it is Negeya Oilam Hazeh, and the Chiddush of the Ramban is that when we say tzaddik and when we say Rasha, we don't mean tzaddikim and Risham in the conventional sense, but we mean the person that was Yotza tzaddik bedin versus the person that was Yotza Rasha bedin. In other words, according to Tosfos is a Chiddush in Rabbi Yochanan's memra. According to Ramban, there's a Chiddush Rabbi Yochanan's memra. According to Tosfos, the Chiddush is that we're dealing with Olam Haba, not Olam Hazeh. According to the Ramban, the Chiddush is that tzaddik and Rasha don't mean what tzaddik and Rasha conventionally mean. There was no way for the Rishonim to sit down and look at this Gemara and take it at face value. Epis a Chiddush daf min zogin. Tosfos was Mechadish, we're talking about a different din. The Ramban was Mechadish, that we're talking about a different definition as relates to tzaddik for Rasha. But the truth is that as relates to this machloikis, this is an afkamina la'alocha. The Ramah in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, this halacha everybody knows, in the very end of Simin Tov Kuf Pei Beis, it's Siftes, says, Hagot, the noyak in the minig is that on Leil Rosh Hashanah, Shekol Echad Oymer Lechaveroi Lashana Toymatikase. The minig Yisrael is that after davening on Rosh Hashanah, everybody goes over to his friend and he says, Lashana Toiva Tikasev. The Magen Avraham adds one word. He says, it's not enough to say Lashana Toiva Tikasev. You have to say Lashana Tanat, Lashana Toiva Tikasev, Visei Chasev. Right. Why only Lashana Toiva Tikasev? If you want Chesima, should also be good. So Lashana Toiva Tikasev says the Magen Avraham, I'm adding one word. It should also be Visei Chasev. Stating that, if you take a look at the Vilna Goyin and Bir Agra, the Goyin says, I disagree. I hold that what the Ramah said when he wrote Lashana Toiva Tikasev was bediktuk. He only wants you to say Lashana Toiva Tikasev. He doesn't want you to say Lashana Toiva Tikasev. Why, says the Vilna Gaon? It's pasha. It's because we know there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, Rab Kruz B'Dayi said the name Rabbi Yochanan, and Shloisha Svarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. One is Risham Gemurim, Tzadikim Gemurim, the other one is Beninim. Now, the Risham Gemurim La'alta L'Misa. The Tzadikim Gemurim is La'alta L'Chaim. The Beinim, they get pushed off until Yom Kippur. And the emissary says the guy, and it's a plea. It doesn't make any sense. How could you tell me that the Tzadik goes L'Chaim and the Rasha goes L'Misa? Hachush Me'et She'enoike. Says the guy, and the Iker is Kepirish Toysvis. U'deloi Karan V'aramban. The Iker is like Pirish Toysvis. That what's going on over here is the Olam Haba Degedin. That means that as it relates to Olam Haba, the Tzadik and the Rasha, their din is going to be 100% sealed, signed. I'm not going to say delivered, because that's a Shana Rabbah already. That's the Geis Avoidus. But sealed and signed for sure on Rosh Hashanah. It's only for the Beinanim that it's going to be Yom Kippur. But says the Goyin, how does it play itself out with regards to the Olam HaZadigadim? Like Tosfos, that Rab Kruz B'Dayi, Rabbi Yochanan is all Olam Habadig. Okay, but what about Olam Hazeh, which is what most people are probably thinking about on Rosh Hashanah, right? What about that Olam Hazeh? So how's that going to play itself out? What's the cheshbon? Says the guy, and for that, this Rameyah's memra in Rosh Hashanah, also Daf Tezayin, but this one's on Amud Aleph, says the Gemara Tanya, Hakol Nidoyna B'Rosh Hashanah, Ugzar Din Shalahem Nechta B'Yem Kippurim Divrei Rameyah. Every single person gets judged on Rosh Hashanah, and the Chesimus Adin, the Gzar Din Shalem is Nechtam when? It's Nechtam on Yom Kippur. And that's what we say in davening. B'Rosh Hashanah Yikosevun, U'B'Yom Tzoyim Kippur Yechosevun. Says the Goyin, that this distinction that you have, some people Rosh Hashanah, other people Yom Kippur, that's Rabbi Yochanan's member. Aber lefit tois, it's only Negei Chayi Olam Hab. Aber was Negei Chayi Olam Hazeh, says the Goyin, everybody It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter which one of those three svarim you end up in. Every single person, hakoil is l'rabbi tzaddikim rishonim and beinonim. Hakoil nidoinim b'rosh Hashanah u'gzardin shalehem nechtam yom kippurim. So again, there's two dinim going on, says the Goyen. There's doilam hazadigidin, there's doilam habadigidin. Doilam hazadigidin we knew, right? We said, of course. You open a machzor, you know there's an Olam Hazadigadin. But Tosis was mechadish from Rabbi Kruspedai and Rabbi Yochanan, that there must be an Olam Hazadigadin as well. But as it relates to these two dinim, the havan of these two dinim, what you have to understand is that where Yom Kippur plays a role, and really in general, how the din is manifest, is Choluk B'Yisai. As it relates to the Olam Hazadigadin, HaKoyl Nidayna B'Rosh Hashanah B'Zadin Shalom Nechtam Yom HaKippurim. And that's what we say, B'Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun U'B'Yam Tzem Kippur Yechasem. And by the way, what's the Oisphere? Kama Yavrum, Kama Yibareyam, Yichem Yomis, it's all Olam Haza, Olam Haza, and Mer Olam Haza. Right? Halavai. That's what's going on there. So it's all about davening. You're davening, you don't want to be an Olam Haza, right? You're davening to be an Olam Haza. It's Davka Olam Haza. That's what the whole tefillah is. And that's for every single person. Doesn't matter who you are. The chsim is on Rosh Hashanah, and the chsim is going to be on Yom Kippur. Then there's another, track. And that track has Shloisha Sfarim Niftachim. And that's made up of different people. And there, you're right, the Tzadikim Gemur and the Rishon Gemurim, they don't even make it to Yom Kippur as it relates to that. For them, it's all Rosh Hashanah. Where's the Negei Yom Kippur for that? That's Taka only Negei of the Beinonim. But says the Goyen, that's Poshet. When you vinshon your Chaver, when you go to your friend, the Lashon of the Ramah, Chaveroi, and you tell him after davening Lashon HaToivo, what are you vinshoning on? That one day you should have a Gezint Olam Haba, you get a smack in the face if you tell him that. He's davening. Right? So of course what you're vinching him on is you're vinching him on Olam Haza. The Olam Haza, the chelik of the din that's gonna happen on that day is only the Lashon HaToivah Tekasev. Because for every single person, it's not gonna happen until Yom Kippur. And being that it's not gonna happen until Yom Kippur, Aliba the Kuli Alma, so it's for that. So why are you talking about Vesechot? You're giving him a brach and now Yom Kippur, you're going to bench him on. I get to benched you. That's what you're going to tell him on Yom Kippur, right? Now you tell him, get the kvittle, right? Everything you do, Bahadraga. Right? The whole Shulchan Aruch. But the point is, right now, what are you vinching him on? You're telling him now, Lashon HaToivah Tekasev. Because the Chsim is not going to happen until later. So it says the Goyen that the Ramah said, Lashon HaToivah Tekasev. And the Magen Avraham said, Vesechosev. I disagree. It's predicted that the Ramah said, Lashon HaToivah Tekasev. You know, because he was going with the Sheet of the Balei Tosfos. And according to the Balei Tosfos, it's that. This that you find that there's a chsima on Rosh Hashanah, that's only been a gay olam haba de gezach. But you're not vinching for olam haba. You're vinching for olam haba. Oh, for olam haza. Hakol nidoyne b'Rosh Hashanah gezach din shom nechmi yamikum. What did the Magen Avraham hold? Kipshute. The Magen Avraham held like the other Rishonim. He had like the Ran. He had like the Ramban and Shaar Gemulan and the Drasha of the Rosh Hashanah. He held that Rab Kruspedoyim, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about Olam Haza as well. If Rab Kruspedoyim, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about Olam Haza as well, that means for the Tzadikim Gemurim and for the Rishayim Gemurim, everything happens on Rosh Hashanah. So what's the bracha? The bracha is not you should be a Rosh Hagamra, it should be a Tzadik Gamra. Lishon HaToivah Tekasev V'Seichasen. Because you should be not a Beinoni. You shouldn't have to wait 10 days to know what your Mishpat is. You should be gebenched this second with a Ksiva V'Chsim HaToivah and a Git Gebenchut. That's what you're telling him. Because right now on Rosh Hashanah for the Tzadikim Gemurim, it's going to be the Alta L'chaim Tovim, and that's why he said it's not enough to say Lashon HaToivah Tekasev. You have to say Lashon HaToivah Tekasev V'Seichasev. So, a nafkamina l'halacha, l'chura, whether you learn, like the way Tosfos learned Rab Kruspedoyim Rabbi Yochanan, whether the Ramban learned Rab Kruspedoyim Rabbi Yochanan, and that is it Lashon HaToivah Tekasev? That's Lashitas Tosfos, Kimavur Bebir Agra, or isn't it Lashon HaToivah Tekasev V'Seichasev? I saw in the Erech L'mayadim, so Rabbi Ruchim, the Rashiva Shlita, said that if you take a look, the Makar to this Ramah is in the Torah. It comes from the Torah. And the Torah says, V'noyagin ba'ashkenaz, shekolechad oimel l'chaveroi l'shoin atoivet tekasev. It's Yitachin, Ashkenaz, we know as Asre, the Balei Tosfos. Right? The Balei Tosfos lived in Ashkenaz and they lived in Sfarad. So in the world of the Balei Tosfos, l'shitasayu, they used to say l'shoin atoivet tekasev bedavka, like the Goyim was Medayik in the Ramah. The Ramban, Iran, they lived already in the Sfardisha world. In the Sfardisha world, maybe there the Minuk Taka would have been to say Lashon HaToivah Tekasev V'Seichasev L'Shita Pasayu, the way they learned up the Gemara in the Snechtes Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. But either way, again, fascinating discussion in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Amud Beis. And Nafkamina Lalachat Yisei L'Shanah Tovet Tekasev, U'L'Shanah Tovet Tekasev Visei Chasem. But the bottom line is, another thing that comes out of this Gemara, this is the most obvious thing, and that is that in the world of the Bali Tosis, which is also the Sheet of the Goyin, and by the way, if you take a look at the Rambam and Perek Gimel Hilchas Tshuva, the Lechem Mishnah learns this up in the Sheet of the Rambam as well. I mean, the Rambam Hilchas Tshuva is Halacha K'moysei B'chal Makim L'chayra. But the point is that it's the Sheet of the Bali Tosis, it's the Sheet of the Gra, and it seems to be the Sheet of the Rambam as well, that on Rosh Hashanah, in addition to there being a Yoy Madin, as it relates to a person's Chayya Oilam Azeh, there's also a Yoy Madin, as it relates to a person's Chayya Oilam Abba. And Emes is, I just think it's g'day to talk about this for 1 second. And that is, what does it mean, Taka, that there's a din on Chayya Oilam Abba? So we mentioned it earlier, right? L'chura, you wait until after it's all said and done, and we'll figure out then. You know, we always speak out that the Brisker Rav, in the end of his Sefer Al HaTayr, it's the last daf of Brisker Rav. So he brings from his father, Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim said that we know that by Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be a Yom HaGadol V'Neira. Right? There's going to be another Yom HaDin. In fact, if you go through the Ramban, in his drasha on Rosh Hashanah, so it's so clear, Kedar Kibak Kodesh, he says there's 3 dinim that every person, there's the din that he has every Rosh Hashanah, then after he dies there's a din, and then by Tchias HaMeisim there's going to be another din, the Yom HaGadol V'Neira. And Reb Chaim asked, so why is there another din by the Yom HaGadol V'Neira? Person died, he was judged, so why are we judging him again? So Reb Chaim said, because every single person gets judged not only for what he did, but for the result and the toitzas and the outcomes of all the different things that it is that he did. Until the world ends, you don't know what the tzitzas are from all the. A person could have lived 1,000 years ago, but his influence is still being felt. With quoting Rambams and Rishonim that all lived 1,000 years ago. So you see, it's not over until it's over, right? Literally, because until it's the Yom HaGadol V'Neira, there's still going to be Cheshbonos Agabi Cheshbonos. So it's true, when a person dies, he gets judged, but he's judged in a way by Sheru Sham. The ultimate, the final judgment's not going to take place until it's going to be the Yom HaGadol V'Neira. Tvarim Niflam that the Brisker Rav brings, that he heard B'Shem Reb Chaim. But that's all good after the fact. This is before the fact. This doesn't have any Havana. Why would a person in the prime of his life be judged whether he's going to be a Ben Olam Haba or he's not going to be a Ben Olam Haba? So I think it's Kedai just to read a few sentences in Mishas Rabaran. And this is in Chelek Beis. It's page Kuf Pei, of course, from the Reshiva Rabaran Kotlas, the Chorin Levracha. And that is, Umidivrei Toisvis V'Agra, Yatzalonu Chiddush Gadol. Diyesh B'Rosh Hashanah P'sakdin Ala Adam, Imhu B'Geder Tzadik, V'Hu L'Chai Yoylam Abba, V'Nechta V'Nechtam B'Sifren Shal Tzadikim Gemurim, Oy L'Hepa Chas V'Shalom, V'Hu M'Yordei Gehenim, V'Nechta V'Nechtam B'Sifren Shal Rishon, V'Av Kize Inyon Shal Acher HaPtira. Even though at first glance, you would think, what shaykhis? What does it have to do in this world, whether the person's a Ben Olam Haba, he's not a Ben Olam Haba? Ach, said Rabaren, Negei L'Maisa B'Yoyim Hadeh. He said, whether or not a person's a Ben Olam Haba or not a Ben Olam Haba is going to dictate, and it's really going to permeate the way he's judged, even with regards to his Chayim Olam Haza. But for sure, it's going to be Negeya, the way the Eibush is misnag with him in this world. Because even people that are Zoyche Bedin, Yeshna Noifanim Harbe, Yeshen Yizoynim Bezroya, Shimu Eilai Abiru Lei Baruch Haikim Mitztaka,
there are people, they get it good in this world, but they're liquidating their account in the next world. Every single dover type that they get, there's a debit that's happening in the other world. That's the Ebishter says, you know, I don't want you to have anything to do with me in the next world. But Lamaisi did a couple of good things. So I'm going to give you everything now. You're going to get nothing by the time you're done. He said, it's also Negei Siyata Dashmai and Ruchnias. Shaimrai mi Michshal, Mishkagois, Minisyonis. The world is filled with Nisyonis, like the Mesillas Sharm says right in the beginning. And Shkagis and Michshalois. And we know there's an idea of Ragle Chasid of Yishmar. So how does a person know if he's a Chasid? When is it Kapaskin that this guy's a Chasid, that he deserves Shmira? That the Eibishter says, I'm going to watch you. You're going to be Zoichet to Shmira Yon. It's Kapaskin to Rebaran on Rosh Hashanah. That's the Olam Haba Digigdin. Oh, yeah, the Rabbi, Chalila, She Yigram Loi Michshal, Chazal say Megalgal and Tzchusa Yidei Chay, Zakai, V'choyva Yidei Chay. When is it Kapaskin if this person's a Zakai or a Chayef? How do you know? How do you know when exactly that's going to play itself out? Is this person a Zaka? Is this person a Chayev? You know when that's Kapaskin? That's Kapaskin said, Rabaran, that's the Psak Din of Olam Haba. Then who besefet tzadikim megagul and tzchus ha-yod v'chein lehepech. Ki av sheyesh l'cholecha b'chol matzav shehu b'chira avol evshorius. But as it relates to evshorius, haruchni is tuya gamkin b'ashkocha. Either way, says Rabaran, you want to know what it means. A mishpan achayo Olam Haba. There's a big cheshbon, and the ikkar of this cheshbon is Olam Haba. Of course, you know, we want more Olam Haza, and everybody wants Yeshuas, everybody needs Yeshuas. That's what everybody's davening for. But there's a big cheshbon, and nobody wants Yeshuas on the cheshbon of Olam Haba. You might think he does, but he really doesn't. He really, really doesn't. Because the Mishnah says, Yofa Kairos Ruch Olam Haba Mikol Anois Olam Haza. And therefore, a person's Olam Haza really plays itself out very much to Olam Haba. Is he losing his Olam Haba? Is he not losing his Olam Haba? Is this person going to be seen as a Chosnin, Ragli Chasid of Yishmar? Is this person going to be seen as a Zakai, where he's going to be Zoichet to Megalgal and Tzchus Ayyadei Zakai? So these are all in Yonim. These are all in Yonim, said Rabbi Aaron, that are Gepaskind on Rosh Hashanah, and they fall into that other category. So really, really, the way a person is viewed from Shemayim is very determined on whether or not is this person a Ben Olam Haba or is this person not a Ben Olam Haba. And there has to be a psak. There has to be a mishpat. There has to be a din. There has to be a cheshbon. And that's Omer of Kruspedoy, Omer Rabbi Yechinon. Shloisha Svarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. There's a sefer for Tzadikim Gemurim, for Rishonim Gemurim, and then the Beinanim. And if a person ultimately it ends up in the Sifren Shal Tzadikim, it means they're going to be noyig with him in a certain way. And that person, by the way, might not have so much Olam Haza. But the bottom line is that person's going to have a Meir Degay Olam Haba because there's nothing he's getting in this world that's taking away from his Olam Haba. And he's going to have a certain Shmira where he'll be able to be Mestapik B'mu'ud, where it's Chanida B'ni Dailoi B'kaf Chuvim Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. It's a whole different Anhaga. There's so many Chazals you can invoke in terms of appreciating this, but in terms of understanding the Yom Adin, there's Taka Tu Yom Adin. There's a Yom Adin for Chayo Olam Haza. There's a Yom Adin for Chayo Olam Haba. As it relates to the Chayo Olam Haza, so that's for every single person. I call me Dainim B'Rosh Hashanah. That's what we say. It's a 10-day trial. It starts. It only starts on Rosh Hashanah, but it ends really on Yom Kippur. But there's a whole nother mishpat that's taking place, and that mishpat could be is going to happen on Rosh Hashanah. Could be it's going to happen Yom Kippur. But it's not even a 10-day trial because it all happens in one day. Either it's on Rosh Hashanah for tzaddikim gemurim, rishon gemurim, or the beinanim nechtavim v'nechtamim on Yom Kippur. It ends up happening Yom Kippur. It's a different trial. It's negeya other things, but it actually has huge ramifications as it relates to Olam Hazeh, and that's why a person be'emtza chayev is going to be judged not only whether he should have a gitke bench or a ksiva v'chsima toiva as it relates to chayev Olam Hazeh, but he's also being judged whether he should have a gitke bench or a ksiva v'chsima toiva as it relates to chayev Olam Haba. The truth is, we're just getting started as it relates to understanding the Yom Aden, right? Just to tease out the next share. There's a couple of other things I think you need to understand, just pashut pshat, right? Number one, when is the Yom HaDin? When does it happen? Meaning, if somebody has to stand in front of a judge, so it could be Monday at 12:30, 1:30. When does it happen? Right? When does it happen? It probably doesn't take that long, right? So when does it happen? Does it happen at night? It happens in the morning. It happens fatogs. It happens in the afternoon. It happens shki. Like, when exactly is the Yom HaDin? Another thing you have to understand is, how could there be two Yom HaDin, right? The whole concept of a two-day yontif, al rishonim anu mitzarim, is a very hard thing to understand. But okay, a two-day yontif is just another day of yontif at the end of the day. So you say, at the bachaton, what's the nafgamino again? Say so you blow shofar a second time, but two yemei adin, the din is going to be on Monday and Tuesday. Again, if you visualize it, it's very, very hard to understand. I think it would be helpful to have a little bit of better clarity in terms of the understanding some of the nuance to help the visualization of the Yom HaDin. That, Be'ezer Hashem, will be the topic of the next year.